professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax return tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today, located at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to take a copy of your 2005 federal and California returns and W-2 1099 info for 2006. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today at 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. The Missouri man accused of kidnapping two young boys, Michael Devlin, is charged now with molesting them nearly 70 times.
According to court documents, Devlin has admitted to all 71 of these criminal counts, including two new counts of kidnapping, restraining Ben Onby and Michael Devlin, and all 69 counts of forcible sodomy.
KMOV-TV reporter John Mills says the 41-year-old pizzeria manager allegedly kidnapped and kept Sean Hornbeck since 2002 and had taken 13-year-old Ben Onby for about 3 weeks before his text message for help brought the cavalry. In a Canadian court, alleged mass killer Willie Picton blames life on the farm for killing all those women. 26 women were murdered, their remains butchered, for which he's charged. Police say Picton told an undercover cop he actually killed 49 women, with plans to make it an even 50. Rudolph Giuliani has filed a statement of his candidacy for president with the Federal Elections Commission. CBS News political analyst Dottie Lynch.
The early polls have Giuliani either first or tied for first with John McCain in the Republican field. And in general election trial heats, he does very well. He's very close to Senator Clinton if she were the Democratic nominee.
In Washington, a non-binding resolution in the Senate opposing reinforcements for U.S. troops in Iraq is still on hold. Let's go live now to Washington. CBS's Bob Fuss.
While Republicans for now are blocking the resolution for moving ahead, senators are talking about it. Republican John Cornyn supports sending more troops.
I think it represents the last best chance for success in Iraq.
Democrat Carl Levin says throwing more troops into Iraq's civil war is wrong, and he angrily rejects charges voting against a surge would embolden the enemy.
What emboldens the enemy is the almost 4 years of presence of Western troops in the middle of a Muslim country's capital.
It takes 60 votes just to get to a vote, and the Senate isn't there yet. Live on Capitol Hill, Bob Fuss, CBS News.
Fashion Week's underway in New York City, and the buzz is still about models who look like wire coat hangers.
Thin is not as in.
It is important that we project health as part of beauty and do not encourage unhealthy behaviors.
But Diane von Furstenberg, president of the Council of Fashion Designers of America, draws the line at any kind of enforcement, no requiring models to weigh in. Too bad, says Lynn Grief, National Eating Disorders Association.
I'm a little disappointed that it doesn't go far enough. I don't see any enforcement, and I understand they don't want to police their own industry.
The emaciated anorexic look is not as prevalent on the runways this year. Jim Taylor, CBS News.
Service sector growth is stronger than expected. The Institute for Supply Management's index hit 59 in January. Numbers above 50 on the index show expansion. 46th month in a row that business activity has increased. Wall Street, the Dow gained 8 points today. The Nasdaq was off about 5. This is CBS News.
This is Charles Osgood of the Osgood File. Emerging research suggests that eating foods naturally rich in antioxidants may help protect your memory. I think that's big news. Even more surprising is where to find those protective antioxidants. Did you know Welch's 100% grape juice has powerful antioxidants just like red wine? In fact, one independent study just ranked Welch's 100% grape juice the number one beverage for antioxidant capacity per serving among 1,000 foods tested. So if you want to help protect your memory, remember to drink delicious Welch's 100% grape juice every day. This is Charles Osgood. I'll see you on the Osgood File.
You know when you open a birthday card from Grandma? She's usually good for, what, like $5? Well, now imagine that you have 100 grandmas. It feels like that.
Have you ever gotten out of your car and something catches your eye on the ground? You walk over and find a $5 bill? Okay, now pretend you find a $495 bill next to it. It's just like that.
New GEICO customers report average annual savings of $500 on their car insurance. Discover how it feels and how much you could save. Go to GEICO.com. Simple as that.
Getting older, having your body start to let you down is bad enough, but dealing with it alone, only makes it worse. CBS's Barry Bagnato is in Washington.
If you're over 80, feeling emotionally isolated, lonely, it could have health consequences. Specifically, you may be twice as likely to develop Alzheimer's disease, says a study in the Archives of General Psychiatry. What's the exact link? That's unclear. Researchers at Chicago's Rush University Medical Center suggest the brain mechanisms that control social behavior are less developed in lonely people and therefore can't compensate for age-related degeneration.
A little four-year-old boy in Toledo, Ohio, will go through the rest of his life with but one foot. Little guy has spina bifida, didn't know. The family pit bulldog was gnawing on his foot. Surgeons said the damage would have taken a long time to achieve. The pit bull was a puppy. Now the dog has been destroyed, and the four-year-old's mother faces child endangerment charges. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
How are the tires on your Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury? Is it time for new ones, or maybe just a rotation?
I can help. I got two strong arms. I can help.
No matter what your tire needs are, the smart choice is your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. Right now, purchase four select Goodyear tires and get an iTunes gift card valued from $50 to $100 or a new iPod Nano. And that's not all. Bring in any competitor's current price ad on the name brand tires we sell within 30 days of purchase, and we'll beat that price. Genuine Ford parts, Ford trained technicians, low prices. We've got everything your vehicle needs to be at its best.
You need a hand, I can assure you this, I can help.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury parts and service. We're better, we're proving it, and we want you to be the judge. Hurry into your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer today. Call 1-877-310-3673 or see participating dealership through 31807.
Peter B. Collins!
He's back. It's another fresh, live, unscripted, unrehearsed edition of the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm your humble host, Peter B. We originate near the city of St. Francis, San Francisco, California, and this program is infused with those dangerous, liberal San Francisco values. And our mayor, who's... Well, he needs to zip it up, Gavin. I'm back in the saddle after a week on the road to Washington and then a week's vacation in southern Florida. Managed to escape just before the Super Bowl gridlock really locked up. And I'm glad to be back here behind the microphone at the Peter B. Collins Show. We got a great lineup for you today. Coming up in about a half an hour, a man who used to be a staffer to disgraced Republican Congressman Robert Ney of Ohio, Dr. Trita Parsi, has published a new book called Treacherous Triangle, The Secret Dealings of Iran, Israel, and the United States. We'll talk with him in about half an hour. Then next hour, we kick off with a discussion of the battle over the minimum wage in the Senate. It's been disgraceful to see the way the Republicans have been holding up the efforts for a simple increase for the hardest working, lowest paid people in America. We're going to talk with Holly Sklar, an activist, and Lou Prince. He employs a lot of minimum wage workers in St. Louis at Vintage Vinyl, and he's in favor of this increase in the minimum wage. We'll also talk with John Stauber. He returns to our program, Center for Media and Democracy. They've been spearheading the effort to protect journalist Sarah Olson and others from the subpoenas that had been issued by the court-martial of Lieutenant Aaron Watada. They've since been dismissed. We'll get the lowdown on that from John Stauber a little bit later on. And then in the free speech zone, we'll be taking lots of your calls. I've missed interacting with you. There's lots of issues in the news that we can talk about. And so that's when we open up the phone lines in our third and final hour to get your comments on issues in the news. And just maybe, we're going to get a panic report. Tommy Panic was at the Super Bowl in Miami yesterday. And if it all works out, we'll get a report from him before the end of the program. As always, you're welcome to participate. You can email Peter at peterbcollins.com, but I prefer that you pick up the phone and call, because it's a live radio talk show, and when you call, we listen. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. That's 888-573-8372. 888-573-8372. Oh, that's the wrong one. I'm a little rusty. I took a whole week off.
haven't been pushing these buttons, and I can't remember what they do. We got travel and music for our media man. Jameson Fozer joins us to start the show today. He's a media man from Media Matters for America. They're on the web at mediamatters.org. Hello, Jamo. How are you doing today?
Hi, Peter. I'm good. How are you?
Not too bad. Nice to talk with you again. A lot of things have been going on, and first and foremost, I just wanted to whine a little bit. Can I use your shoulder?
Sure.
Well, I was traveling, and I had three flights on JetBlue, and I kind of like JetBlue. They have live satellite television screens at every seat, but since I last flew, they dropped the dreaded liberal cable channel, MSNBC, and I say that with quotes and derision around it, and all I could get was headline news and the Fox News channel. So I actually endured more of Fox's news programming on these flights than I have probably in the last year combined. And it is so scary, JMO. There's a parallel universe there populated by creepy people who, you know, use name-calling and distortion on a regular basis. And it passes for news. I mean, I watched my fellow passengers, many of whom were watching the same channel, and they just seemed to soak it all up without any question, comment, or reaction. And there I was trying not to cause a scene on the airliner, so, you know, I didn't get detained.
I hadn't heard that news that they had dropped MSNBC. Do you know if they gave any explanation for why?
No. You know, the people on the plane don't really have much to say about that or much information to give you.
I would imagine that listening to Chris Matthews yell at you probably isn't all that much more soothing than Fox News when you're in the middle of a flight.
Well, it's a matter of degree, and torture is also a matter of degree. But, you know, when they trot out Laura Ingraham and some of these other folks on the Fox News channel, it really is hard to take, and you just want to talk back to them and say, well, wait a minute, you know, you're so one-sided, you're so biased. And it's, you know, my screaming doesn't do any good. But it's interesting because at the meeting of the capitalist leaders of the world in Davos, Switzerland, over the last week or so, Rupert Murdoch, in an interview, admitted trying to shape the news on Iraq on the Fox News channel. Does that come as a surprise to you?
Well, it comes as something of a surprise that he'd admitted. It doesn't come as any surprise that they tried. That's I think, pretty obvious by now.
Mm-hmm.
Murdoch says he doesn't think they succeeded and that they tried, though, and he went on and he reportedly explained that, and this is a quote, or at least it's been reported as a quote. I haven't seen video or heard audio of it, but it says, we basically supported the Bush policy in the Middle East. Well, that's, you know, again, to anybody who's spent a fair amount of time watching Fox, not exactly shocking, but it is a pretty brazen thing for him to admit.
But wasn't he referring to his on-camera editorials, you know, Ask Rupert, because the rest of the programming is fair and balanced?
Oh, is that what he was referring to? You know what's interesting, though, is the various surveys that have been done over the last several years since the beginning of the Iraq War, trying to assess people's understanding of the facts around the Iraq War and where they get their news and link those together have pretty consistently shown that people who watch Fox are more likely to believe false things about Iraq. They were more likely to believe that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction long after it became clear that wasn't the case. More likely to believe that Saddam Hussein played a role on September 11th. But it isn't the case that Fox viewers were spectacularly uninformed about this, and viewers of other channels knew what the truth was. It was typically that Fox viewers were the worst off, but that people who got their news from other sources also had these misimpressions and these false beliefs. So Fox is certainly bad, and we should never lose sight of that. And you know, they're pretty much a joke, but it's not the case that their competitors are doing a good job here. And you know, if only JetBlue showed MSNBC, people would be getting the truth.
Right. Yeah.
MSNBC has its own host of problems.
Well, and they offer CNN headline, which is just the tackiest, most insulting presentation now with Glenn Beck and
Nancy Grace.
But I don't believe that they have the main CNN channel, which strikes me as odd.
It does, and you know, Headline News having Glenn Beck is the perfect illustration of what I was just talking about. The alternative to Fox is the channel on which a host, Glenn Beck, asks a Muslim member of Congress, prove to me that you're not fighting against us.
Yeah. Yeah, it's stunning. That and he has been, even considering that episode, he is now in greater demand than ever. ABC wants him for Good Morning America, and you've been kind of dogging at Media Matters. He hasn't actually popped up on GMA yet, has he?
I don't think he has, but the deal is done as far as I know. ABC has issued a statement explaining it, saying he has a unique voice and perspective that he brings to these issues, and so they've signed him up. And this is after he mused on air, fantasized on air about killing Michael Moore. It's after he said to Congressman Keith Ellison, prove to me you're not working against us. They knew what they were getting, and they chose it.
Yeah, yeah. It's really, really hard to take. The one other thing on Fox that I saw that I wanted to turn in was just another one of those insulting episodes of Hannity and Combs. They had Dennis Kucinich on, and purportedly he was there to discuss his plan to get us out of Iraq. But he never got the opportunity because sneering Sean Hannity had these loaded questions where, Congressman, now you're dead wrong about Iraq, but what's your plan? And as he started to talk, he would be interrupted and peppered. And then finally, you know, Alan Combs was brought in to end the interview, but he didn't ask any questions from his purported left perspective. And I just, Kucinich was a little feisty, and I don't blame him. And at the end, he sneered back at Sean Hannity and thanked him for the fair and balanced interview and asked to be invited back so he could actually talk about the proposal that he had been invited on in the first place for. Just amazing. All right, we're going to take a quick break and return with Jameson Fosser. JMO has a column at MediaMatters.org, and we'll talk about a couple of items in the current edition of that column regarding media treatment of Hillary Rodham Clinton. And if you have a question or comment, you can join us toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a killer affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with crumbs stew. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey. PG.
I am attorney Sean Mills.
Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience, who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Post Graduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
God listens to Billy Sunshine. Maybe you should, too. Sundays, 3 to 5, on KRXA, 540 AM, The Billy Sunshine Show with Pilar. Coming soon.
You see, we're on a mission from God.
The Peter B. Collins Show continues 21 minutes past the hour on this Monday. We're talking with Jameson J-Mo Foser from Media Matters for America. Their powerful website's available to you all the time at mediamatters.org. You watch a little TV or read something in the newspaper and it doesn't all quite add up for you, go to Media Matters and they'll help unscramble it or help you analyze what has actually occurred there. They do great work. And David Brock is the founder of Media Matters. J-Mo, next I wanted to ask you about some items that are in your column. People can access that at the homepage. Just look for Media Matters, Foser. And you're commenting on coverage of the events over this past weekend where Democratic leaders gathered, and Bush actually paid a visit to them at their retreat. But you focused on the coverage of Senator Clinton and how that compared to the other would-be presidential contenders on the Democratic side.
Right. Well, the impetus for this column was the speeches that the Democratic presidential contenders made at the DNC winter meeting over the weekend, and there was a the hotline is a sort of DC publication covering politics, and on their webpage they did quick little capsule reviews of all the candidate speeches, and they described Hillary Clinton in her speech, her voice rising to a yell as a discordant note. And they didn't really comment on any of the male candidates whose voice rose to a yell from time to time. And that struck me as just a little bit off. But what it really reminded me of was something that's been bothering me for a couple weeks, which was an interview that Charlie Gibson conducted with Hillary Clinton on ABC in January, in which he said to her, and this is a quote, "You are a strong, credible female candidate for president of the United States, and I mean no disrespect in this, but would you be in this position were it not for your husband?" And when I first saw that question, I thought it was kind of a silly hypothetical. Nobody really knows what would have happened if they made earlier decisions in their life. Maybe we would never have heard of Hillary Clinton if she had never married Bill Clinton, or maybe she would have already been president by now. Who knows? So it's kind of a silly question. But it bothered me more the more I thought about it, and the more I thought that's the kind of a question that you never hear asked of a male candidate. And there's actually a very good comparable here in that John McCain might never have been in Congress had he not left his first wife for a younger woman who was very wealthy and politically connected.
Yes, the beer fortune.
Right. He left his first wife for Cindy Lou Hensley, and then shortly after marrying her and marrying into money and political connections, he ran for Congress for the first time in Arizona, where her family was very influential. So, mm-hmm. you know, had that not happened, John McCain might never have been in Congress, might not be a presidential candidate today. There is virtually no chance that Charlie Gibson will ask John McCain, "You're a strong, credible male candidate for president of the United States, and I mean no disrespect in this, but would you be in this position were it not for your wife's money and political connections?"
You're out of line, Charlie. I'm the straight talker here.
He just won't answer that question. And what does that tell us about Charlie Gibson, about ABC, about the media in general, about the country that we live in?
Well, and JMO, back to your site from the hotline about Hillary raising her voice and that this is described as discordant. I'm very sensitive to that, really following the Dean scream, because I recall in Iowa the very night before, Ted Kennedy gave a rousing call-and-response screaming speech to a crowd of Kerry supporters. And I saw Kennedy speak in Washington on my recent visit there, and he was doing the same thing. He raises his voice. He's an old-style political orator. And for some reason, it's okay for him to do that, but it wasn't okay for Howard Dean. And when Hillary does things that are common among her male colleagues, she gets singled out for more notice.
Right, and the context that this occurs in is anybody who's been watching television in particular for the past few weeks since Hillary Clinton announced that she was running has seen over and over again coverage of her where she's described as a girl and giggling, and people describe her, Chris Matthews and Howard Feynman conjured images of her as Little Miss Perfect in high school wearing poodle skirts, and it just gets to be a bit much after a while. And Andrew Sullivan is a blogger for Time and a conservative columnist said at one mm-hmm. point on the Chris Matthews show that when he sees Hillary Clinton, he gets cooties. It's, this is just not the way to pick a president.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm sorry to return to Fox, but there I was trapped on the plane, and they turned to Michelle Malkin to get her stunning analysis of the Clinton campaign. And, I mean, she's biased. She drips with a kind of resentment of anybody who isn't like her. And her qualifications have never been established, in my mind. Jamie in Phoenix, join us here with JMO on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hello, JMO. Nice to talk to you again. And, Peter, welcome back.
Thank you, Jamie.
I was wondering, JMO, if you had seen anything on the Paula Zahn CNN special about atheism, where they did a panel after some interviews, and the panel had no atheist on it.
Well, that's because Bill Maher was busy negotiating with CBS to get on the Katie Couric free speech zone.
Well, see, they could call me. I'm on Phoenix Air Radio all the time saying, "Hi, I'm an atheist," so I don't,
Well, but why would we want to comment from an atheist when we're talking about atheism? I don't get it.
Well, apparently the preacher and the rabbi, and I guess it almost sounds like a joke. It was a priest and a rabbi and a minister.
And they're
and
on a plane.
They pretty much came back and said the atheists need to shut up.
Wow. JMO, your comment?
I didn't see that. It sounds like the atheists' problem isn't that they need to shut up. It's that nobody can hear them if they're not on shows like that. It's a good reminder that these balance problems that we talk about and other problems that we talk about with Fox are not unique to that network. Paula Zahn's on CNN, and she picks a topic to discuss. She picks atheism, and she doesn't bother to invite an atheist on.
Yep. It sure would be nice if the news would go back to reporting the facts instead of analyzing things that haven't happened.
Very good. Thank you, Jamie.
Thank you both. Bye-bye.
Appreciate your call today. And, JMO, just a minute remaining. Dinesh D'Souza or Giuliani and Carrick? Your choice.
That's a tough call. Rudy Giuliani is currently getting a wave of media coverage that it would make even John McCain jealous. You can't see a story about this guy without hearing that he's America's mayor and the hero of September 11th. We did a quick item today looking at a USA Today article that described him in that way, and we pointed out that this guy really made a lot of very controversial decisions around issues of security when he was mayor of New York, and things that didn't work out so well. He had a history of promoting cronies without necessary experience. experience into important jobs. And that's the kind of thing that the media should be looking at, rather than just declaring this guy the hero of September 11th and America's mayor. Tell us what he did.
Yeah. Well, and Chris Matthews just keeps promoting him as if he is a paid flack for Giuliani. And the Carrick issues are real. Keep in mind that not only did Giuliani back him, as the head of the police force there in New York, but he then tried to get him the gig as head of Homeland Security. And then the truth came out about some of his frailties. Thank you very much, JMO. Great to talk with you.
Thanks a lot, Peter. Take care.
MediaMatters.org. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
The days of wine.
12-step talk uncensored.
Laugh and run away.
Saturdays, 4 to 5 p.m.
Like a child.
12-step talk uncensored. It's about time.
Through a meadowland toward a closing door.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
This is Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to prunetarealestate.com.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Ropp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540. We'll be right back.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. I'm fresh back from vacation. Not too tan, but I'm rested. And full of opinion. But I was like that before I left. My lines are open. Anytime you want to join this conversation, 888-5. Peter B. is the toll-free number, 888-573-8372. Joining me now is the author of a new book called Treacherous Triangle, The Secret Dealings of Iran, Israel, and the United States. Its author, Dr. Trita Parsi, joins us on the phone. And Trita Parsi formerly was a policy advisor to Congressman Bob Ney of Ohio. Dr. Parsi, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you so much.
I want to confess, first of all, that your book has come recommended, but I don't have a copy and I have not read it. And I like to admit that to people because a lot of interviews that you may do have people with little crib sheets and they pretend that they've read your book.
Well, you're completely without guilt because the book is not out yet. It'll be out hopefully in about 2 to 3 months.
Oh, okay, great. It showed 2007, so I thought it was
exactly. It's
already on the shelves.
Yeah.
Well, good. Thank you for relieving me of the guilt I didn't have. Now, I want to hear your thoughts and the thesis of your book and some of your views, but I can't resist asking you about your former boss, Bob Ney. On this program, we have discussed him on many occasions, and I have to say not one of them would have been considered flattering to the former congressman.
Mm-hmm.
We've mainly covered the Abramoff scandal and the issues that led to his guilty plea and his belated resignation from the Congress. What are your thoughts about working for Bob Ney, and in particular related to your expertise in foreign policy? What was Bob Ney like, and was there somebody beyond the scandal-plagued man who left the office in disgrace?
Well, first let me say that when it comes to everything else that has been in the media, I have no knowledge, specific knowledge about it. I was not privy to anything, so I can't really comment on anything of that. But I can tell you that I've known the congressman for several years, and I've been tremendously happy to be able to advise him on some of these foreign policy issues, because what people tend to forget is that he was one of the most knowledgeable people in Congress when it comes to the Middle East and about foreign policy. He had lived in Iran, he had lived in Saudi Arabia, traveled extensively through the region, very, very good cultural knowledge about the region. So he was a voice in Congress that was extremely constructive on this specific area.
Mm-hmm.
He was also the only member of Congress that actually spoke Farsi. And mindful of the difficulties that the United States currently has with Iran, that was a very, very valuable thing.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know that the Republicans were pretty much in lockstep behind the president on the war in Iraq. Did Bob Ney have any doubts or misgivings? Did he depart from the administration line in any significant ways?
I think that's something that he has to answer himself. That's not something that I would be able to give you any accurate account of. I can tell you that he is a person that definitely prefers diplomacy to military action.
Okay. I guess you don't want to delve any further, but I'm just curious, you know, given the way we've seen the unity of the Republican Party fractured since November, and, you know, people like Chuck Hagel and Senator Smith from Oregon stepping out and offering, you know, different views from the White House line. I'm just curious if Congressman Ney used back channels to try to persuade the White House to do things differently than actually occurred.
Well, the Congress was far more active on the Iranian front, in which he, for many years since 1997, had been in favor of promoting dialogue between the two countries in order to be able to address the many difficulties that existed. And in his capacity as a member of Congress, he did, on a few occasions, meet with representatives from Tehran in order to be able to foster that dialogue. And that was obviously something that is not that the Bush administration is doing or has been doing. So
mm-hmm.
In that sense, clearly he would not be in lockstep.
Yeah, that's notable. We're talking with Dr. Trita Parsi, former staffer, a policy advisor to Congressman Bob Ney, forthcoming book called The Secret Dealings of Iran, Israel, and the United States. What are they? What are these secret dealings?
There's plenty of unknown things between these two countries. What a lot of people probably don't know is that back in the 1980s, when Iran was using a far more aggressive tone versus Israel and were using more aggressive language more frequently than it currently is, at that time, Israel was actually the power that was lobbying in favor of U.S. talks in Iran, in the United States, and that in many ways was helping Iran, making sure that the Iranians would get access to U.S. military equipment.
So that goes back to Iran-Contra, Oliver North's neat idea to resupply the Iranians at highly marked up, we'd call them gouged prices, and then deliver the profits to the Contras in Central America.
But it goes beyond Iran-Contra. Only a couple of days after the breakout of war between Iran and Iraq in 1980, the Israeli defense minister held a press conference while on a private trip in Vienna, in which he called for the United States to put its past behind it and help Iran keep up its defenses. And this is at a time when the U.S. hostages were held in Tehran. So we see a triangular relationship between Iran, the United States, and Israel that is far, far more complicated than the current very simplistic image that there's some forces that are in favor of freedom and some forces that are not.
Mm-hmm. Well, if we're going to go back to 1979 and 1980, what do you make of the alleged October surprise? Did Bill Casey and George H.W. Bush cut a deal in Paris to hold the hostages past the election and release them, bingo, on Reagan's inauguration day?
It's kind of interesting you asked me that, because I was just spending some time with Gary Sick, who is the author of that
book.
And I had a conversation about him. I can't tell you that I've seen any evidence in any direction. I wouldn't be able to draw any conclusions on that. And even Gary is saying that he's not fully convinced, but he said that, you know, there's enough circumstances that makes this situation very interesting and it needs further research.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, it's interesting, for instance, in 1982, Ariel Sharon was on air, NBC Live, telling the American public that in spite of American arms embargo on Iran, the Israelis are keeping supplying the Iranians with arms because they wanted to make sure that they had a good relationship with Tehran. And this is at the same time that the Iranians were calling for Israel's destruction.
Mm-hmm. Just one more item that I can't resist about the hostages and the so-called October surprise. I can just remember the mind-boggling video presentation of Ronald Reagan's inauguration. As he's raising his right hand, they went to a split screen and showed the airliner taking off with the hostages from Tehran. And, I realize that's circumstantial. I'm not claiming that that's any kind of definitive evidence. But it lingers as an image that I'll never be able to shake. And given what we saw develop with Oliver North and Poindexter and the you know, secret channels to Iran, it's hard to just write it off and say, oh, that probably didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a part of history that really needs to be studied very carefully. I think right now, when the public's trust in the government is at probably an all-time low, mindful of the way that the Bush administration has been conducting this war and not presented accurate information to the U.S. public, to the U.S. Congress, I think there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be tempted to go back and look at other somewhat suspicious cases.
Mm-hmm. So let's fast forward to the present day. First of all, what do you make of the story that surfaced 3-4 weeks ago in the Sunday Times of London that Israel has been wargaming attacks on Iran, attacks on Iran's nuclear sites, and that potentially Israel was planning to use a nuclear weapon, a bunker buster. And this, of course, is rich and ripe with irony that, of course, to, you know, for Israel, which has never acknowledged openly that it has a nuclear weapon, to use one on Iran in order to deny them a nuclear capability strikes many of us as, well, tone deaf at minimum.
I think the Israelis, for quite some time, have on occasion released or leaked information hinting that they are going to attack Iran. They're going to do it through air. They're going to do it through their submarines, or they might even consider using a nuclear weapon. And this is primarily aimed at pressuring the Bush administration to take a harder line. Mm-hmm. Because these leaks tend to coincide not with any significant progress that the Iranians are making on their nuclear program, but rather with hints and feelings that the Bush administration may be considering a compromise and that they're not going to go and be very, very hawkish on Iran.
Mm-hmm.
The Israelis themselves know that even with their many, many exercises and their efforts to be able to perfect their air force, and it's a very, very fine air force, they do not have the capability to successfully take out all of Iran's nuclear facilities. They cannot fly the full range without refueling, and that means that they will have to refuel likely above hostile ground, or they would have to go via Turkey, which is a country that is very, very loath to end up having more tensions with Iran.
Sure. Yeah.
And at the same time, even if they did manage to resolve that problem, since the Iranian facilities are spread out through the country, they will not be able to take them all out.
Mm-hmm.
They would have great difficulties. It's a very different situation than from the one in 1981 when they attacked Osirak, which, by the way, is likely that they did with Iranian help. At a time when the two countries were cooperating behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was just one facility, and you only needed one sortie to be able to take it out. The Iranian program is far more complicated.
Indeed.
But the threat is that if Israel does it, it will be a half-finished job, it will create a tremendous amount of tensions, and the mess that will ensue will fall in America's lap. So by using that, they are pressuring the Bush administration to take action themselves.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I can buy that. I think that's a very reasonable, plausible explanation of what we've seen play out. Now, how do you read the intentions of Bush and Cheney toward Iran?
Well, right now, I think the key question that a lot of people have been asking themselves is the Bush administration trying to goad Iran into war through some of the activities that we're seeing in Iraq right now, like raiding Iranian consulates and arresting some of its diplomats?
In Erbil,
In Erbil, exactly.
Right.
Or is this an effort to weaken Iran in order to be able to enter negotiations with that country from a position of strength? I think that regardless of what the intention of the Bush administration is, the risk for war is tremendously high now. Because even if they don't intend this to be a provocation that will lead to war, it may end up being a provocation that will lead to war anyways. How many Iranian consulates or offices in Iraq can be raided without an American soldier getting killed?
Well, and I regard the president of Iran, Ahmadinejad, as provocative and provocable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And here's an interesting thing. Another reason why we should be rather concerned about the approach. In Iran, moderate voices, moderate conservative voices, are now being raised saying that Iran's silence in face of the raid of their consulate and the arrest of the diplomats is emboldening the United States, and that the Iranians should do something in return. If the Iranians do something in return, then we can be quite certain that that will be seen as very provocative from the American side, and then the spiral will continue, and sooner or later, before we know it, there's going to be a major escalation.
Well, that's an important point, Doctor, and it's the first I've heard of it. And, of course, now that the Super Bowl's over, maybe actually it could be reported in the American media.
I mean, I was quite surprised to see an article in the Iranian newspaper, Buzz Top, that has been extremely critical of Ahmadinejad, of his criticism against Israel and the Holocaust conference and everything, that this newspaper had an article, an editorial, saying that Iran had emboldened the United States by not responding to the arrest of the diplomats.
Yeah. We're going to take a
break. It's a very, very dangerous thing for Iran to do. The last thing Iran should do is to give the hardliners in Washington a pretext to be able to escalate this further.
Agreed. Dr. Trita Parsi is our guest. Forthcoming book, Treacherous Triangle, The Secret Dealings of Iran, Israel, and the United States. We go to the phones in the next segment. There's room for your call right now. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the news. KRXA 540.
One Day Income Tax Service, family owned and operated since 1944, specializes in year-round professional tax preparation. Do you want your refund quickly? Stop by One Day Income Tax Service. They offer tax preparation at reasonable rates and work to meet the needs of military families with the capacity to process all out-of-state returns. If you prefer to prepare your own return at home, they can help you expedite your refund by filing your return electronically. Let One Day Income Tax Service assist you with your return and maximize your refund. Stop by 885 Broadway Avenue in Seaside, where no appointment is necessary. Looking for quick, professional, and reasonable tax return preparation? Visit One Day Income Tax Service, 885 Broadway Avenue, Seaside, or call 394-8010. That's 831-394-8010. One Day Income Tax Service, where you walk in with a copy of your most recent tax return, personal ID, and W-2 1099 info for 2006, and you walk out with your completed tax return.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, O'Reilly!
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you could strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show every morning from 9 to 10, only on KRXA 540. Down in Monterey.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Let's do it.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. 9 minutes away from the hour, my guest, Dr. Trita Parsi, P-A-R-S-I. New book coming out, Treacherous Triangle, The Secret Dealings of Iran, Israel, and the U.S. from Yale University Press. And he's a former foreign policy advisor to the former congressman from Ohio, Bob Ney. And to your calls now, Dave from Eureka, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're on the air.
Peter, good to have you back.
Thank you, Dave. Nice to hear from you.
Dr. Parsi, I had two thoughts. One is that if the Bush and Cheney proceed on their course for global domination and New World Order, as they spelled it out in PNAC, if their plan is to invade Iran, and it certainly appears to be, I think that's where the rest of the world is going to draw the line and say, you've gone as far as you're going to go, Mr. Bush and Mr. Cheney. I think that. The other point, though, I had made is that when we were originally selling weapons to Iran under the Meese, Reagan, that was not an Iran-Contra deal. That was a pure graft scam. Put the money in their pockets. It was Oliver North that asked Gorbanifar, what would we say if we got caught at this? And Gorbanifar said, well, you could always claim you were trying to raise money for the Contras, make it into some noble thing. So that's the thought.
All right, Dave. Thanks. Dr. Parsi?
On the first question, I think to a certain extent the caller may be right. There's already a tremendous amount of worry in Europe and in the region that the United States may go into war with Iran and that will have absolutely devastating consequences for the entire globe, not only for the Middle East, but far beyond that as well. The question is, what is being done by these countries in order to be able to push or guide the Bush administration towards diplomacy rather than military action? And there, unfortunately, you can't see too much right now. The Europeans tend to feel that the Bush administration is not listening to them in any way, shape, or form. And they've been very, very shy towards putting strong pressure on the Bush administration because of the very, very costly experience they had with Iraq, in which the countries that did push hard against the U.S., against the Iraq war, ended up paying a rather hefty price for it afterwards.
Okay. And to his second point about Iran-Contra and Ghorbanifar?
There certainly are a lot of people in the middle there that were only into this because they wanted to make money. Ghorbanifar clearly is one of them. Adnan Khashoggi is probably another one. From the end of the, from the perspective of the countries in question, Iran and Israel, everyone had a different agenda. The Iranians wanted to, on the one hand, get access to American arms to be able to defeat Saddam Hussein. On the other hand, they did want to reach out to the United States and pave the way for a better relationship. The Israelis wanted the United States to make up with Iran because they wanted to create a strong alliance with Iran because Iran is a strong periphery power, non-Arab power in the Middle East.
Right.
For 30 years, they had very good relations with Iran, and they wanted to be able to do that. From the American perspective, the geostrategic reasoning was that this was absolutely necessary in order to ensure that Iran would not end up in the Soviet orbit, and it would become a satellite of the communist powers, as well as the personal motivations of President Reagan, who wanted to make sure that everything was done so that the hostages in Lebanon would be released.
Mm-hmm. Another caller, Daniel, joins us from Santa Cruz. Hi, Daniel. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter.
You're breaking up badly there, Daniel. Don't turn your head an inch. why don't you try calling us back, Daniel? If you get here in time, we'll take your call. Dr. Parsi, with somebody like you who, you know, is so well-versed and has a depth of knowledge, and I haven't read your book, let me just give you a minute here to offer a thought that I haven't asked you about that you think is important for our listeners to know and that probably hasn't shown up in the press.
I would say that one of the most important thing that hasn't really been in the press quite yet is that while we're constantly hearing the Bush administration say all options are on the table, I'm very curious to know why aren't more people asking him, is diplomacy on the table? And if it is on the table, why is it not being used? Because when he's saying that that all the options are on the table, it seems to refer that he's also keeping the military option there. That's fine. But what about all the other options? What about diplomacy? Why is that not being tried?
Well, I think that's a very important point.
Now, if I could add one more thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
We're hearing a lot that Iran would be behind some of the violence in Iraq. That may very well be the case. I don't know. I have not seen any evidence. Members of Congress have not seen any evidence. The American public has not seen any evidence. On three or two occasions, the Bush administration was supposed to present the evidence, but they never did.
Right.
One thing that I would like people to ask themselves is that we know for certain that about 90% of American casualties in Iraq are a result of the Sunni insurgents, who have been supported by elements inside of Saudi Arabia and Jordan. Why isn't the Bush administration paying more attention to these 90% American casualties and pointing the finger towards Iran? Is there a political motivation behind this? What is the deal? Because if our first priority is to protect American soldiers and secure Iraq, then we should pay much more attention to the support that is being given to the Sunni insurgents and al-Qaeda via elements inside Jordan and Saudi Arabia, two strong American allies.
I'm glad you raised that. There was a series of reports on Anderson Cooper's CNN broadcast last week that purport to say that Iran has secret units inside Iraq that are, you know, conducting these acts of provocation. And it really smelled like a planted package to me. I'm still researching, and I don't want to say definitively, but I'm pretty suspicious of that angle. Daniel's back from Santa Cruz. Let's see if we can squeeze him in. Go ahead, Daniel.
Thank you, Peter. Yeah, I'm a veteran for peace here in Santa Cruz.
That's funny what you said about the priority of being to protect soldiers. I thought it was to sell weapons and military equipment. So my question is, do you think that weapons that we make trickle down into the hands of our enemies and get used against us? I'm fascinated by your the wisdom of your guest, Peter. And I don't know anything about Iran or...
All right, let me cut you off, Daniel, because time is tight here. Do you have a comment, Dr. Parsi?
Sir, I didn't quite understand the question.
Okay, well, we're out of time, so I'm going to have to leave it at that. A pleasure to talk with you, and when your book's out, we'll invite you back.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Treta Parsi, former staffer to Congressman Bob Ney. Thanks for listening to this hour of the...
Are you tired of hearing no when applying for a home loan? Is your credit shot due to late payments, bankruptcy, or recent foreclosure? Do you need help purchasing a home or refinancing your existing home? Well, now there is help. Every Saturday and Sunday morning from 7 to 8 here on KRXA 540 AM, listen live to national radio host Ken Michaels of Mortgage Makeovers as he doles out simple answers in plain English to your mortgage and finance questions.
Tom Hartman.
There were some very weird moments in Bush's speech last night. He never once mentioned diplomacy. He didn't mention stem cell research. He didn't mention New Orleans, an American city where 1,500 people died.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
And he didn't even have the decency and dignity to mention New Orleans because it is another example of the failure of conservative ideology.
Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Bush budget. A plan to spend more on the war, less for Medicare, and keep tax cuts in place. I'm Mark Knoller at the White House.
I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill, where the long-awaited Iraq debate in the Senate is stalled for now. Republicans won't let it go forward.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The Democratic majority in Congress will have something to say about this, but for now, the plan on the table is the president's proposed budget for the 2008 fiscal year.
If President Bush gets his way on spending and taxes, he says it'll eliminate the deficit and produce a budget surplus 3 years after he leaves office.
By keeping taxes down, we actually generate strong revenues to the Treasury.
His new budget calls for another $250 billion in funding this year and next for the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. He wants his tax cuts made permanent and the growth in Medicare spending reduced. But even if the deficit is wiped out, the budget shows the national debt will continue to soar year after year. Mark Knoller, CBS News. The White House.
There's this initial reaction from the Democratic chairman of the Senate Budget Committee, Kent Conrad.
I would characterize this proposal as filled with debt and deception. It's disconnected from reality, and it continues to move America in the wrong direction.
Now this.
This Valentine's Day, send your sweetheart the gift that shines above all others. Name a star after them. I'm Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, we will name a star after your sweetheart and send a beautiful gift package. The new star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com for this year's hottest Valentine's Day gift.
You know what's weird? I just signed up for Progressive Car Insurance and saved an extra $50 because I did it online, but their website couldn't be simpler. Maybe if they had one of those sites where your wife ends up telling you to stop yelling at the computer, you're frightening the children, I'd be like, okay, Progressive, you totally owe me $50 for that ordeal, but no, you sign up, it's easy, you save $50.
Go to Progressive.com, sign up online and save an extra $50. Progressive, it's about you and it's about time.
Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in most states and situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On a resolution criticizing the new strategy in Iraq, an impasse developed today in the Senate. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss has the latest.
Though a bipartisan majority in the Senate seems ready to vote against the troop surge, Republicans for now are blocking the debate, complaining about its rules. Democratic leader Harry Reid says this is too important for these kinds of games.
We must proceed with the debate about Iraq and send a clear message to President Bush. Escalation is not the answer.
A staunch opponent is Connecticut Independent Joe Lieberman.
It is an act which I fear will discourage our troops, hearten our enemies,
and showcase our disunity.
But unless agreement is reached, for now there won't be any votes at all. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Suspicions were confirmed today when additional charges were filed against the Missouri man who allegedly kidnapped and held two boys, one victim for more than 4 years. Michael Devlin now faces dozens of counts of forcible sodomy. More from KMOX Radio's Megan Lynch.
One of the interesting things that the prosecutor told us was that when you look at the case involving Sean Hornbeck, the case where we have 52 counts of forcible sodomy, they believe that the bulk of those incidents occurred at the very beginning of the kidnapping and that they lessened as his time in captivity went on, which may suggest to us why then the incident with Ben Ownby.
Prosecutors say Devlin forced 13-year-old Ben Ownby to have sex four times a day for the 4 days he was held. Massachusetts Attorney General Martha Coakley indicates she's ready to drop charges against the two hair guys who placed electronic devices around Boston as a promotion for a cartoon show. Turner Broadcasting and an advertising agency have offered $2 million to make amends for the resulting bomb scare.
That is $1 million that goes to compensation for out-of-pocket and additional costs, and $1 million that goes for the communities to use as compensation for the events that occurred on Wednesday.
When 27-year-old Peter Berdovsky and 28-year-old Sean Stevens were arraigned on Thursday, all they wanted to talk about was hairstyles of the 70s. After such a mild beginning, winter cold in the north has become quite a shock. It was 42 below this morning in Embarrass, Minnesota. The wind chill prompted school closing across the northern plains and Midwest. On the streets of New York, the secret to comfort is layers and a positive attitude.
I'm insulated in three different, layers, and I have the hand warmers and the foot warmers. And pretty much just get your mind right and do what you have to do.
Forecasters expect this pattern to persist for a week. Time on the roundup, 5 minutes past the hour.
This is Charles Osgood of the Osgood File. Emerging research suggests that eating foods naturally rich in antioxidants may help protect your memory. I think that's big news. Even more surprising is where to find those protective antioxidants. Did you know Welch's 100% grape juice has powerful antioxidants just like red wine? In fact, one independent study just ranked Welch's 100% grape juice the number one beverage for antioxidant capacity per serving among 1,000 foods tested. So if you want to help protect your memory, remember to drink delicious Welch's 100% grape juice every day. This is Charles Osgood. I'll see you on the Osgood File.
You know when you open a birthday card from Grandma? She's usually good for, what, like $5? Well, now imagine that you have 100 grandmas. It feels like that.
Have you ever gotten out of your car and something catches your eye on the ground? You walk over and find a $5 bill? Okay, now pretend you find a $495 bill next to it. It's just like that.
New GEICO customers report average annual savings of $500 on their car insurance. Discover how it feels and how much you could...
So when was the last time you had a raise? And have the Bush tax cuts trickled down to you? We launch into another hour of the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. America's lowest paid workers haven't had a raise in years. And as one of the first six pieces of legislation moved through the new democratically controlled House, Speaker Pelosi won a raise for the hardest working, least paid individuals in the American workforce. But now it's stalled in the United States Senate, where Republicans have tried to jam it up with tons of amendments. And it led to a fiery speech from Senator Ted Kennedy of Massachusetts about 10 days ago. And he basically tried to shame his wealthy Republican colleagues, and of course, Ted Kennedy's wealthy himself, into acknowledging that they didn't need to load this bill up with all kinds of other issues. They could use separate legislation for that. We get a status report on the battle to increase the minimum wage, first from Holly Sklar. She's a well-known columnist and agitator who joins us on the program today. Hello, Holly.
Glad to be here.
Thanks for talking with us. What is the current status? I was on vacation last week, so I have to acknowledge I haven't been following point by point. But has there been any definitive progress in the Senate?
Well, the Senate did vote 94-3 to raise the minimum wage,
mm-hmm.
but they voted it with this package of tax breaks.
right.
that the House found unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'll tell you, trying to keep up with the status of this is pretty hard, even when you follow it closely, because it's pretty complicated and changes day to day. But right now, it's in this process of negotiation between the House and the Senate, where they're trying to figure out how they're going to negotiate it, split the differences, or what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
We had hopes that the House would stand firm for what we kind of call a clean minimum wage bill, raise
right.
the minimum wage without attaching all kinds of things to it. But it looks like there will, you know, it's going to end up with some kind of tax breaks. And the thing I'd love to make about that right at the beginning
mm-hmm.
is, one, whatever the merits of these tax breaks, they should be judged separately and not in a connection with the minimum wage bill. But secondly, I don't see a lot of merit in it, and that is to say that, you know, business lobbyists have held up the minimum wage bill for 10 years. It's been 10 years since 1997 without a raise. And so after holding it hostage for 10 years, which is the longest period ever in history without a raise, now they basically want to collect this ransom of tax breaks to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And absurd.
Holly, summarize them for us briefly. What are the breaks, and do they truly help small businesses?
Well, I think Lou can talk about the small business part of it in a minute, but they... Look, the tax breaks are all over the map. They're not targeted just to small businesses. It has to do with depreciation and expensing and all kinds of things. But the context here that's so important is, since the last raise in 1997, the minimum wage has actually fallen 20% if you adjust it for inflation. And in the same period, you've got domestic corporate profits up 74%, retail profits, where there are a lot of minimum wage workers, up 55%. And in this period, business has already reaped $312 billion in tax breaks.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just don't need any more in exchange for the minimum wage.
Now, I am a small business operator myself, and so when I hear about trying to help, you know, tight margin businesses deal with the obvious cost increase of a minimum wage, I have a moment of sympathy. At the same time, I recognize that this Congress and this administration, and I'm referring to the previous Republican Congress, let me correct myself, has just been incredible in ignoring the issues of working Americans as they have, you know, piled on the tax cuts for the wealthiest Americans and really widened that gap between rich and poor to a phenomenal new level. So is there any reasonable break for, you know, the mom-and-pop businesses with five or fewer employees, or is this really geared toward Starbucks and Walmart, the really big minimum wage employers?
This is geared all over the map. It's geared toward basically at shoveling as much money as they can, continuing to while they can, to Republican contributors, to the lobbyists that have been lobbying for so many years. It's not at all geared toward mom-and-pop businesses. And we've got a sign-on that we want to tell people about. It's Business for a Fair Minimum Wage at businessforafairminimumwage.org. And mom-and-pop businesses all over the country have signed on, and we're talking places like Oklahoma and Indiana, Alabama, all over the country, including these states that are going to be directly impacted by the rise in minimum wage,
mm-hmm.
have signed on to say, look, a higher minimum wage is actually good for my business. It's good for my business because the reality is I've got more customers than I've got employees. And the minimum wage pumps dollars into the local economy. People don't put it under their mattresses. It doesn't go to offshore tax havens. It gets recycled back into the economy. And so Oregon, you know, the Commissioner of Labor and Industries for Oregon, mm-hmm. they have the second highest minimum wage in the nation.
Right.
He says, look, overall most low-wage workers pump every dollar their paychecks directly into the local economy.
Well, and most of these...
spending their money in their neighborhood stores, local pharmacies, corner markets. And the other thing is, you know, higher wages raise productivity. They lower turnover, which is a huge cost to businesses that sometimes even the smaller stores don't take into account enough.
Right.
You know, every time somebody quits and leaves, you have to train somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
You got somebody without customer relations and so on.
Yeah. Well, and I just believe that giving a raise to the lowest paid workers means that they're going to patronize many of these establishments where they work or people like them work. And so it is a net win for the employers. Let's get a perspective from Lou Prince, who joins us from St. Louis, where he runs an outfit called Vintage Vinyl. Lou, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Hey, nice to be here.
Nice to talk with you. Now, you're an endangered species. We just saw Russ Solomon and Tower Records go down in flames here in bankruptcy, based in California, but a nationwide impact. The rack jobbers, that one in St. Paul, the one in Davis, California, that have gone belly up over the last 3 years or so. You're a real survivor. How could you be out there as a business owner with a tight margin operation advocating for an increase in the minimum wage?
Well, it's actually cheaper to pay more, and I know that sounds crazy, but you're right. About half of the music retailers in America have closed since the year 2000, and we feel really lucky to have survived. But one of the reasons we've survived is I have a great staff of employees here who have long-term relationships with my customers, and the way you get long-term relationships is you pay people enough to stay, and you give them decent benefits so they stay, and you cover their families with health insurance so they stay. The cost of finding a good employee, training a good employee, is so high nowadays that retaining an employee is a much, much better plan. And, you know, our feeling is that raising the minimum wage, what it does is it forces these gigantic national companies that are paying nothing, mm-hmm. giving no benefits, to actually compete with us. And I think most small businesses, especially neighborhood businesses like restaurants and retail stores, they find that they're paying more and taking better care of their help. So it's really the gigantic corporations that leech off the lower minimum wage.
Well, Lou, I wish just a couple of years back you had been the chairman of Safeway or one of the other grocery chains here in California. It was a watershed battle and labor lost.
Yeah.
The workers were fighting to retain their employer-paid health care and pension benefits because of the threat from Walmart of these supermarket, giant supermarket stores that would be non-union. And the supermarket chains, Safeway, Albertsons, and a couple of the others, lost or spent a total of about $1 billion to force their employees to take this really, retrograde contract. And if they'd put a tenth of that money into lobbying Sacramento to create a level playing field so that Walmart had to compete with the existing grocery retailers in this state, it would have made a world of difference, and we wouldn't see the erosion of employer-paid benefits that has occurred since then.
I agree, but the erosion of employer-paid benefits started with the erosion of union power. You know, during the Reagan years, a lot of legislation started eating away at the ability of unions to organize. And, mm-hmm. and to me, if corporations can incorporate, then workers should be able to incorporate as unions.
Wow,
a huge part.
Lou, you're a danger to corporate America. I love it.
Yeah, my old man was a union organizer.
Holly Sklar, what's your comment?
Oh, I have a lot of comments.
Well, give me one. I got to go to a break.
I'll give you one. Look, the CEO of Costco, is in support of higher minimum wages. Costco pays entry-level wages about $11 an hour. In-N-Out Burger out in your neck of the woods pays
sure.
over $9 an hour entry-level wages.
Yeah.
There's lots of people who know how to be successful business people paying decent wages. And the other businesses who claim they can't, and I don't really believe it, you know, have to look at their business models. There's something wrong with your business model if you say you can't stay in business.
That's columnist.
Your worker in poverty.
That is columnist Holly Sklar. Also with us, Lou Prince of Vintage Vinyl in St. Louis. We're talking about the battle to increase the minimum wage. And if you have a question or comment, join us right now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Hey, Lou, can you name that tune?
I can barely hear it.
Oh, okay. It's Timmy Thomas, Why Can't We Live Together? All right, we'll continue in a moment after a break right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
Good afternoon. Taking a look at your Central Coast traffic. Watch out for a cow in the roadway. It's 152 at 156. This is a cow just sort of taking a stroll down the middle of the roadway there. Have a solo vehicle accident in Interlake, and it's Green Valley Road at Celia Drive. Solo vehicle spun out, went off the roadway, and it actually landed in a ditch on the shoulder, so not quite sure. There may be injuries reported in this. CHP and emergency crews en route to check up that. Some construction work going on in Santa Cruz. Southbound Highway 1, Morrissey Boulevard off-ramp. That off-ramp is fully closed. This is full off-ramp closure 24 hours a day, and it's going to be closed all the way through May 1st. So detours are posted and in place for you, but you got to get yourself around that. This report is brought to you by your Genuine Toyota Service Departments. Through March 1st, visit your local participating Toyota Service Center. You could win two tickets to the Toyota Save Mart 350. No purchase necessary. See dealer for official details. I'm Dio Traffic on KRXA 540.
Lord, how amazing. I can't get ahead, no way I try. Everything is out of pocket. Somebody do something. The present situation is abstract.
Yeah, well, like, why don't you raise the minimum wage? Without a bunch of amendments favorable to corporate interests, huh? This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
Listen. I'm working 40 hours. 6 long days, and I'm highly embarrassed every time I get my pay. And they're working everybody, Lord, they're working poor folks to death. And when you pay your rent and your car note, you ain't got a damn thing left. Ain't that a bitch?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it is. Somebody doing something slick.
We're talking with columnist Holly Sklar and Lou Prince, CEO of Vintage Vinyl in St. Louis. Lou, I'll try again. You want to name that tune?
That was Johnny Guitar Watson.
Amen.
That a bitch. I love Johnny. See, that's my area of expertise here. And one of the reasons I need such good employees is because music is so diverse and I need so many experts on staff.
And so you have people who explain the hip-hop nation to you?
Oh, yeah. They try and keep me hip, but I really am an old fart.
Uh-huh. Well, I knew I could find a tune that you could name, and I love that one. I have to say, it really epitomizes the plight of working Americans. Mm-hmm. Holly Sklar, I had to cut you off before the break. You had a couple of other points to make about this lack of a level playing field and the way industry keeps hammering workers instead of really trying to become more competitive.
Well, one thing I was going to just mention about Walmart, and a lot of people know this, say Walmart versus, you know, Costco, is you've got Costco paying $11 an hour entry-level wage. Its average wage is about $17. And it provides health benefits, retirement benefits, et cetera. It's got a very low turnover rate, and it doesn't have its employees having to depend on public health programs when they get sick.
Yeah.
You know, Walmart has kind of taken a lot of its employees and forced them to essentially rely, if they can get it, and not everywhere can you get good health care, you know, mm-hmm. in the public health system.
Let me ask you to both respond to this, because we were in Washington for the Families USA Healthcare Conference a week and a half ago. Got a call from an interesting man named Kelly in Phoenix, and he was saying, why should I pay for your health care? And he's one of these, I eventually told him that he had to be a descendant of Darwin, because he really believes in the free market system, and he can afford to pay for his health benefits, and he frankly doesn't care about anybody else. How do we overcome this me-first attitude that really captivates so many Americans? Holly first.
Well, the thing is, first of all, we don't have a free market system. It just depends what you're looking at and whether you consider, you know, everybody is getting benefits in some kind of ways. And I'll give you an example. A lot of people say, oh, I don't want to pay so that somebody can get housing assistance, right, if they're low income, right? But they may have a house, whether it's $400,000, $500,000, $1 million in value, whatever it is, carrying a high mortgage, and they don't see that every bit of the mortgage interest deduction they get comes, you know, works out to be thousands of dollars tax revenue, right, that is not there from the government to do anything else with. And so it costs the government essentially the same, whether it's not getting the money because you're taking a mortgage interest deduction or it's giving it out for rent subsidy. But the reality is people who are high income get a lot more subsidy through the mortgage interest deduction, for example.
Right. Yeah.
Or take a rancher or a farmer, for example, who says, you know, you got to subsidize me so I can stay in business, but doesn't think of that as a form of even corporate welfare, much less a form of other kinds of welfare.
Lou Prince?
And then they look at someone else who subsidized and say that. So everybody's got to look and say, look, we don't expect police services, right, based on what we can pay, or fire services based on what we can pay. There are certain things we do as a nation that make sense for us all.
Lou Prince, your comment?
Well, and one of the reasons our gross national product keeps growing and our nation is successful is because everybody's contribution to it is what raises the entire level, so that, you know, the clearest argument for raising things like the minimum wage is it ends up putting more money back into the economy and creating more jobs, which makes Kelly in Phoenix's possibilities of creating more wealth for himself better.
Very good point.
But more importantly, I think there's a certain amount of justice that holds a society together, and the sense of justice is what we're talking about here. A minimum wage worker in America working 40 hours a week, 52 weeks a year, makes gross $10,712. Gross.
Yeah.
No one can live on that. As for health care costs, whether he likes it or not, Kelly in Phoenix is going to be paying for them if corporations and government programs don't. Because he's supporting the emergency room that becomes that uninsured Walmart worker's basic health care system.
Very good point, Lou Prince. Thank you for that. And let's all salute smartly. Ten Hutt, Sarge is joining us now from Columbia, Mississippi. Hello, Sarge.
Hello, how are you?
Nice to talk to you again.
Nice talking with you. I hope you had a nice time off.
I did.
One thing I want to say is, now here we are in the area where we got the highest unemployment, the lowest per capita income in the nation. We have an area that's trying to rebuild after Katrina and all of this, and yet there are people here who are lucky if they can find a job for $7 an hour. Now, if this is the kind of nation that you want, Jesus, I feel sorry for you, because it's you cannot You cannot have people hanging by a raveled thread, have some kind of emergency come up like Katrina, and that thread gets completely severed, and then the government has offered them a broken thread again to pull themselves up by. This is what we're facing, and the news media is part of the problem.
Well, very well put. Holly, do you have a reaction?
No, it's very well put. I mean, there was a wonderful article I saw about Louisiana and Katrina. It was focused on New Orleans and not the whole greater area, but it said, you know, people were living in an emergency situation even before the hurricane hit because so many people were working minimum wage jobs in hotels and restaurants and so on. So you can imagine how, you know, unbelievable the emergency was afterward.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing to keep in mind is, you know, this country was not always like this. A lot of people like to forget. But there was a time in which you didn't expect that the minimum wage would keep a worker in poverty. You expected that a job should keep you out of poverty, not keep you in it.
Holly, I got to stop there because we're out of time. I wanted to give you a chance to mention the website again where people can sign the petition.
BusinessForAFairMinimumWage.org. BusinessForAFairMinimumWage.org.
Holly Sklar, thank you. And Lou Prince, do you have a website at Vintage Vinyl where we can buy records?
VintageVinyl.com. But even more important is that your listeners write and call their congressmen and senators to take the pork out of the minimum wage bill when it gets into Congress.
Thanks, Lou.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Please. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. This is the week the Senate takes up a resolution opposing the president's strategy in Iraq. It doesn't actually do anything, except maybe one thing. Until now, the Democrats could say that as much as they've criticized the president, he's gotten every dollar and every soldier he's asked for. But with a resolution making that criticism official, well, here's how Hillary describes it.
That will be the first time that we will have said no to President Bush.
Exactly. Now, I hear people wondering why President Bush is so stubborn. Why is he pushing ahead? Because he's known for a long time there were only bad choices left in Iraq, and now he can leave those bad choices to the Congress. He's been saying over and over lately that it's not unpatriotic to debate this war, and I think part of the reason is because if Congress does cut off the money, whatever follows looks like their fault, which is why some members are hesitant to actually do that. However, events may force the issue. Spending on Iraq is about to collide head-on with another giant expense, the retirement of the baby boom. One economist estimates that half the total spending on Iraq could have kept Social Security solvent for 75 years, but it's too late for that now. And which do you suppose the narcissistic, Congress-electing, baby boom generation is going to value more? Keeping the Sunnis and Shiites apart or getting their full Social Security check? Yes, Congress is facing the little-known corollary to the Pottery Barn rule. Not only do you buy it if you break it, but sometimes they make you keep the pieces. Now this.
1,500 years ago, a vast library, the ancient world's greatest cache of knowledge, was lost. And now, the hunt has begun to find secrets shocking enough to kill for and too explosive to reveal. The Alexandria Link, the new thriller by best-selling author Steve Barry. Dan Brown says, Steve Barry writes my kind of thriller. Discover why, as one man battles a conspiracy that will alter the course of history. The Alexandria Link by Steve Barry, in Valentine hardcover. And don't miss The Templar Legacy, now in paperback.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 33 minutes after the hour.
What thought is in your mind? Not the present or the past. It can happen anywhere, anytime. Bring back the 60s, man.
Little music from Country Joe McDonald, reprising the, well, that's actually the sanitized version of the Fish Cheer. War Resisters theme music from an era gone by. And perhaps new music is being written right now. On our last broadcast before I went on vacation, I was honored to have the opportunity to talk for the first time with Lieutenant Aaron Watata, who is the highest-ranking member of the military to refuse an order to deploy to Iraq. And I was really touched by his courage and his humility and his, courage and resignation in the face of the discipline that he knows he's going to receive from the court-martial that is getting underway this week in Washington State. John Stauber joins us, and he's a very busy guy. He's a co-author of the book Weapons of Mass Deception. He's a co-founder of the Center for Media and Democracy. And in his spare time, he's been leading the charge to try to build support for journalists who were inadvertently drawn into this court-martial of Lieutenant Aaron Watata, notably Sarah Olson, who writes for TruthOut.org, and Dar Jamail, who... Matt, we got to get Dar back on the program. We haven't talked to him recently, but he has done stalwart work reporting on the war in Iraq and also resistance to it. And Olson and a reporter from the Honolulu newspaper have now been relieved of potential obligation to testify against Lieutenant Watata in the court-martial. John Stauber, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Peter. It's great to be on your program again.
Well, and this, at least so far, there is some gratification on the part of these two journalists who are no longer in the crosshairs. But the trial will go forward, the court-martial, and based on the way it has been shaped by the judge, they're not going to be permitted to make the case that the war is immoral, and that's the basis for Lieutenant Watata's refusal to deploy. And it also appears that they're not going to give him much of an opportunity to do much more than stand for punishment. But let's talk first of all about the Olson and other reporters. Tell us how this occurred. The prosecuting attorney in the court-martial dropped a couple of charges that they thought would have required testimony to corroborate the public statements made by Lieutenant Watata. Is that generally correct?
That's generally correct. Last May, Sarah Olson, a Bay Area independent journalist, radio and print journalist, interviewed Lieutenant Aaron Watata, and he expressed to her his opinions about the immorality and illegality of the war in Iraq. And last June, Lieutenant Watata went very public in saying that he would not go to Iraq. Late last year, journalist Sarah Olson, a journalist from a Honolulu newspaper by the name of Greg Kakasako, were both subpoenaed by the military prosecution, by the Army's prosecution in the court-martial of Aaron Watada. The military prosecution wanted to turn them into witnesses against Watada. Other journalists, such as Dar Jamal, were put on a prosecution witness list. And a number of citizens who are actively working against the war, anti-war activists, also found themselves on witness lists. It's really outrageous, I think, when the Army tries to drag journalists into court because they didn't need the testimony of these journalists to bring charges against Watada. I think these subpoenas should be recognized for what they are. When you read the subpoena, it says it's a subpoena from the President of the United States to these journalists. And hopefully we'll know more about this as time unfolds. But my feeling is that this was a blatant attempt by the Army to try to intimidate journalists and send a message to soldiers and their families who are dissenting from this war and criticizing this war, that if you are bold enough and brave enough to actually voice opinions to the press and meet with journalists, we're going to drag those journalists right into the court and have them testify against you. And at the same time, I think it has a chilling impact on the press when a military court-martial says, you think you're a journalist and you're just reporting the facts, we're going to stick you under oath, and if you don't show up to be part of the prosecution, you're looking at a felony, you're looking at contempt of court, you're looking at months in jail and a fine, simply for doing your job as a reporter. You know, this administration is well aware that 40 years ago, a lot of what finally brought to halt the war in Vietnam was the fact that U.S. soldiers led the opposition to that war, as a recent documentary, Sir, No Sir, shows so well. So I think this was an attack by the Bush administration on the press, and luckily it didn't work. Our organization, Center for Media and Democracy, working with Sarah Olson, we were able to mobilize in a very short time the Defend the Press Coalition, and if people want to take a look at what we accomplished, just go to defendthepress.org. Scores of prominent journalists, writers, authors, mainstream journalism organizations like the Newspaper Guild and the National Press Club lined up and called on the Army to drop these subpoenas. And in a very short time, we just launched this campaign a week ago Wednesday. By the following Monday, January 29th, after receiving thousands of emails generated through the campaign, the Army backed away. And I think the reason they backed away was that the campaign was succeeding in drawing attention to the trial and also to the fact that this was a tactic of intimidation, I believe, from the president on down.
Now, the interviews in question were widely published. Some of them involved situations where the interviews with print reporters were videotaped. Some of those videos were on the web at Truth Out and other web locations. What exactly did the Army think it could accomplish by forcing Sarah Olson and Greg from the Honolulu paper to testify? They essentially just wanted them to verify that these reports were accurate and authored by the individuals. Is that right?
Well, you know, that's sort of the question here. What was going through the minds of the Army prosecutors? Attorneys I've talked with have said there was absolutely no need for them to subpoena journalists. You know, Aaron Watada has been quite outspoken, and I'm sure will be outspoken in his trial.
Well, and he didn't deny that he said these things or that he holds these views.
No, of course not. He repeats them over and over. And so I think that's the reason why my conclusion is this is all about trying to intimidate news media and stop them from reporting on this growing movement within the military and among military families to oppose this war. I just really think it was a tactic designed to have a chilling impact on free speech and on journalists being asked to come in and testify for the prosecution unnecessarily in a military court-martial on a charge of conduct unbecoming an officer where the crime is actually the speech. Actually, the words of Aaron Watada declaring, in his opinion, the war to be immoral and the war to be illegal under international law. That's the so-called crime, and that's the whole crux of his refusal to deploy. So clearly they didn't need to drag journalists into court. They've got Aaron Watada.
Well, and if you, again, without getting too conspiratorial, but if you link some recent episodes, Josh Wolf, a freelance videographer who captured a minor scene on the streets of San Francisco where a police car was vandalized, he's still behind bars on a contempt of court citation. We have the case of the San Francisco Chronicle reporters who published grand jury testimony related to Barry Bonds and the steroids or, you know, other additives that he may or may not have used and whether he told the truth to the grand jury. We have now the Libby trial, where, in my view, and tell me if you agree, John Stauber, the people in the White House, Scooter Libby et al., were expecting that no prosecutor would put reporters on the stand. And so that by floating the cover story that Libby didn't learn about Valerie Plame's identity from Cheney, which is now established fact, but in fact he learned it from Tim Russert or some other media reporter, I believe the gambit was that this is the way we're going to isolate this leak and make it appear that it came from the press.
Yeah, I think there's a real war on the press going on here. And you know, the press can be incredibly unpopular. There are a few people who are more critical of mainstream reporting and the conglomeration of media and the terrible impact that's had on journalism than you or than I. But the reality is that here in the United States, what we need more than anything, and what is supposedly protected by the First Amendment to our Constitution, is the right of the free press to do its job and to be protected, if you will, from government intrusions in the work of providing the information that is absolutely the lifeblood to a democracy, the information that we need, the courageous and independent reporting on tough issues, so that we can know the truth about situations like the war in Iraq. I've always said, and Sheldon Rampton and I, I believe, document this in our two books, Weapons of Mass Deception and The Best War Ever, that had the mainstream American media simply done its job instead of becoming like a propaganda arm of the Bush administration, had they stood up to the administration and questioned these claims that the best publicly available evidence showed were false, that Saddam was behind 9/11, which was one of the major insinuations, that Saddam was in league with Al-Qaeda, that Saddam had an active nuclear weapons program, had the mainstream media in the United States shown the backbone and integrity that was shown by parts of the mainstream media in Canada, Mexico, Germany, France, Japan, name your favorite U.S. ally, this war would have been impossible. So there are reasons to criticize the media, but the problem with the media isn't the Josh Wolfs and the Sarah Olsons and the reporters investigating Belko. The problem with the media is that there are too few journalists of that sort who are willing to really get out there and do the courageous digging. And so when we see the government attacking the press, what that means is that we, whether we're reporters or authors or citizens at large, really need to rally around and defend the press and the right of the free press to do its job. That's the problem. We need more defense of the press, not sort of cynical acquiescence to attacks upon it.
That's John Stauber from the Center for Media and Democracy. After a break, we'll talk about the recent modest admissions from Rupert Murdoch about Fox News and its support of Bush's rush to war in Iraq. If you have a question or comment, call us now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
Take a look at your Central Coast traffic. In Salinas, watch out northbound 101 at John Street. Keep your eyes open for a large piece of metal that's been dropped in the right-hand lane. Again, it's northbound 101 at John Street. Inner Lake and Green Valley Road at Celia Drive. Saw a vehicle accident there. This vehicle actually spun out. It went off the roadway and landed in a ditch over on the shoulder. So injuries reported. Emergency crews as well as CHP on scene for this tow truck still has not arrived to pick it back up onto the vehicle and cleared all the way out of there. Cow walking around in the roadway 152 at 156, just a cow strolling down the middle of the lanes. And southbound 17 before Sugarloaf Road, watch out for a tree branch in the right-hand lane. Office Depot can help you create professional-looking documents from small jobs to bound presentations. Bring in your document or submit it at officedepot.com. Office Depot, taking care of business. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Here's that protest music for the new era. Michael Fronte and Spearhead. In my view, Lieutenant Aaron Watata has courageously and morally yelled fire.
Revolution never sends you an omen. A revolution just arrived like the morning. Ring the alarm, we come to wake up the snoring. They're telling you to never worry about the future. They're telling you to never worry about the torture. They're telling you that you will never see the horror. Spend it all today and we will build you tomorrow. Free peace, suits and bank accounts in Bahamas. Wall Street crime will never send you to the slammer. Tell all the children in the arms of the mamas. The F-15 is a homicide bomber. Commercial for
I pop a pill, cool cha. Drugs dropping, knees circling like a vulture. Amaraki babies with the G.I. Joe father. 10 years from now, is anybody gonna bother you? Fire.
We continue now with John Stauber. He is the co-author of Weapons of Mass Deception, co-founder of the Center for Media and Democracy, and he and others have put together the website defendthepress.org, aimed at defending the rights of individuals like reporters Sarah Olson and Gary with a long name from the Honolulu paper, and people like Dar Jamail, who we've featured on this program, and in fact, having interviewed Aaron Watata, on phone lines monitored by the NSA, I have no guarantee that I might not be caught up in a similar situation if the Army had not blinked the way they did last week. John Stauber, I want to turn now to the remarkable comments of Rupert K. Murdoch, who was attending the Capitalist Confab in Davos, Switzerland. It's an annual affair at the end of January. And he made a remarkable admission. He said that they tried to shape the news coverage on Iraq, but he felt that they were not so successful. Well, what does this tell us?
Well, I think Murdoch was telling half of the truth there. Indeed, I think Rupert Murdoch had a moment of perhaps confession when he said that Fox News and probably the rest of his media empire attempted to shape public opinion around the war in Iraq. I don't think there's any question about that. He said they tried to, but they didn't have much effect. In fact, they were supremely effective. The rest of the media even had a term for it. They called it the Fox effect. And the other TV networks, especially his competing cable news networks, were quite jealous because after 9/11, Fox News really led the charge in literally wrapping itself and its entire TV news set in the flag.
Well, let's be more accurate. They put that animated flag either on the lower third super or up in the upper left corner at all times.
Yeah, and by the time the war occurred, the attack on Iraq, they were actually choreographing their footage and their sound. So that the music synced with the explosion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was just, we describe it at length in our 2003 book, Weapons of Mass Deception, in our chapter titled The Air War. Fox led the propaganda charge for the war, and they unfortunately gained a massive audience share in doing so, and rather quickly after 9/11, September 11th, 2001, gathered the biggest audience of any of the cable news networks. TV is all about eyeballs. The more people you can draw to the screen, the more money you can get out of advertisers. And it was the other media, the competitors of Fox, that began to refer to this as the Fox effect and, frankly, follow suit, so that by March of 2003, we had that very well-documented, shameful incident of Phil Donahue, one of perhaps the only national prominent TV journalist willing to have on his program routinely critics of the war, being fired by MSNBC, and a memo leaked out in which they admitted they fired him because their competitors, i.e. Fox, were wrapping themselves in the flag, and MSNBC didn't want to be perceived as anti-Bush and anti-war. So,
and Jeff Cohen tells that story artfully in Cable News Confidential, a great book that came out in 06.
And, of course, Jeff was a producer on that program at the time, and
right.
He also tells how not only was Phil Donahue taking all this heat for courageously insisting on having critics of the war. Critics, by the way, who were overwhelmingly right. Well, the administration, we now know, was 100% wrong. But when Phil Donahue did have critics of the war, MSNBC bosses insisted that they have two war advocates for every one critic. So Rupert, it's nice to see Rupert sort of stumble into a bit of admission, but unfortunately the fact is overwhelmingly that he did succeed in shaping and selling the war. And really it's an act of war profiteering because, you know, I remember well how loudly the drum was beaten for war. They convinced the majority of the American public that Saddam was behind 9/11. And I think this has to be something that people consider, too, in the case of Aaron Wittada. When journalists stick the mic or the pen in front of soldiers in Iraq and say, why are you here? Overwhelmingly, they say, because of 9/11. Well, the reality is, of course, Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11. And as people like Richard Clark, the former White House security analyst and expert, have pointed out, it's really the war in Iraq that has weakened the U.S. and caused the U.S. to appear to be failing in Afghanistan.
Right.
Osama bin Laden, the proclaimed perpetrator of 9/11, is still on the loose. And Iraq is becoming the horrific quagmire that critics of the war predicted.
Yep.
And much thanks to Rupert.
Okay, John, thank you for joining us today. Always a pleasure to talk with you.
You too, Peter. Bye-bye.
John Stauber, go to defendthepress.org and help the cause.
This is Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to PrunetaRealEstate.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The Bush administration expects to spend heavily on the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan through the end of the president's term. That's spelled out in today's budget proposal. This is White House Budget Director Rob Portman.
Specifically, we're requesting additional resources of $99 billion for FY 2007 to support our troops, $145 billion for 2008, and an allowance of $50 billion for anticipated war costs in 2009.
And officials say even those numbers aren't final, just projections. But it's the first time the administration has offered any figures for the costs of fighting a full year in advance. President Bush wants Congress to make his first-term tax cuts permanent, and he proposes to cut Medicare and Medicaid by $78 billion over 5 years. In that time, he says the budget can be balanced. Action on a resolution against the new strategy in Iraq is stalled in the Senate.
If not now, when? If not now, do we wait for more troops to die before we oppose the president's plan?
Nebraska Democrat Ben Nelson was pushing for action today, and so was Virginia Republican John Warner.
How does an American GI being thrust into the darkened alleys of this city, with all of the crossfire between the Sunni and the Shia upon Shia, Sunni upon Sunni, and decide whom to shoot?
But many of Warner's fellow Republicans moved to block a full-fledged debate. It's not clear whether that might change tomorrow. CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick went out with U.S. troops on surprise visits to checkpoints in Rosala, Iraq.
That was another one of our checkpoints.
It is also one of the most dangerous.
Checkpoint 2 could potentially be abreast within the next 2-3
out. But despite nightly attacks, half of the Iraqi national police here are asleep. Another example of their lack of training.
That's one of our biggest challenges as a transition team, is training these guys, because they come straight off the street.
Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Cornett and his men will travel with these Iraqis when they're formally trained in the spring.
We're going to be with them 24/7.
In the meantime, the U.S. soldiers visit these checkpoints frequently because they're crucial to the success of the Baghdad security crackdown. Cammie McCormick, CBS News, Rasala.
San Francisco Mayor Gavin Newsom just announced he's seeking counseling for alcohol abuse. Last week, after the manager of his reelection campaign abruptly quit, Newsom acknowledged that 18 months earlier he'd had an affair with the campaign manager's wife. It was 8 degrees this evening as the Indianapolis Colts returned from their Super Bowl victory after a parade. MVP quarterback Peyton Manning spoke to 40,000 people who waited for hours at the RCA Dome.
All I really want to say is, on behalf of the players, we want to thank the greatest fans in the world, you Indianapolis Colts fans.
The Colts and Bears had a big audience last night. Nielsen Media Research says there were more than 93 million viewers, making it the second most watched Super Bowl ever. Only the Dallas-Pittsburgh game in 96 drew a larger audience. Today on Wall Street, the Dow up 8 points to 12,661. This is CBS News.
This Valentine's Day, send your sweetheart the gift that shines above all others. Name a star after them. I'm Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, we will name a star after your sweetheart and send a beautiful gift package. The new star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com for this year's hottest Valentine's Day gift.
Okay, this is how I run my business. I put receipts at the front of the shoebox, unpaid invoices go in the back.
But, hon, what happens if you drop the shoebox?
I might cry a little.
You know, there's an easier way to manage your business. Use QuickBooks. It's so simple, you can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you send invoices, see who's paid you and who hasn't, and get ready for tax time.
Great. What'll I do with my shoebox?
Put shoes in it? Just throwing it out there.
QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at Staples, Office Depot, or Sam's Club.
A state official in the Northeast has launched an investigation of a soft drink that's supposed to help you lose weight. CBS's Jim Taylor takes a look.
Well, right on the front of this can of Enviga, it is called the Calorie Burner.
The claims may be nothing more than voodoo nutrition.
Connecticut Attorney General Richard Blumenthal investigating Coke and Nestle's over claims that the drink actually burns more calories than it contains, that three drinks a day will burn 100 calories. So, open ours here. Reading the ingredients, Enviga, mostly water, then green tea, caffeine, and calcium. Coca-Cola chemists say an extract from the green tea does speed up metabolism and burn calories. Jim Taylor, CBS News.
An Israeli inventor thinks the time has come for air-conditioned baby strollers. Ophir Ben Aaron got the idea while trying to keep his infant daughter cool with a fan. He came up with a battery-powered air conditioner that weighs less than 5 pounds. The vent that blows cold air on the child is disguised as a toy. Ben Aaron hopes to have it in the United States within months. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
This Valentine's Day, send your sweetheart the gift that shines above all others. Name a star after them. I'm Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, we will name a star after your sweetheart and send a beautiful gift package. The new star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com for this year's hottest Valentine's Day gift.
You know what's weird? I just signed up for Progressive car insurance and saved an extra $50 because I did it online, but their website couldn't be simpler. Maybe if they had one of those sites where your wife ends up telling you to stop yelling at the computer, you're frightening the children, I'd be like, okay, Progressive, you totally owe me $50 for that ordeal, but no, you sign up, it's easy, you save $50.
Go to Progressive.com, sign up online and save an extra $50. Progressive, it's about you and it's about time.
Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in most states and situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
We launch into the third and final hour of the Peter B. Collins Show, live from San Francisco. This is where we open up the phone lines and see who calls and what they have to say. It's the Free Speech Zone, and I'm here to tell you that the First Amendment is still in full effect, so use it before we lose it. My lines are wide open for you, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. You got that number? 888 888- 573-8372 or 888-5-PETER-B. Program it into that fancy BlackBerry and you'll never have to think of it again. We take calls from anybody on any subject with any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice. So grab a line and let's chat this hour. A little bit later, we're expecting a panic attack. Tommy Panic on site in Miami for the Super Bowl. He'll give us his unique coverage. And I'll tell you a little bit about my own experiences in South Florida last week as the build-up to the Super Bowl kind of took over Miami, jammed up the freeways, and filled it with a lot of ugly Americans. But first, I want to thank the fine people who sat in for me last week. Pat Morrow on Monday, Tony Truppiano on Tuesday and Wednesday, and his Bradness, Brad Friedman, on Thursday and Friday. And I know there were some technical glitches with the attempted live remote broadcast from Phoenix on Friday, but Brad is a trooper and hung in there and I guess did get on the air during the final hour and then ended up sitting in for Mike Malloy for the program following. So kudos to Pat, to Tony, to Brad, and above all, thanks to our able producer, Matt Renner, who was recovering from surgery and came back to sit in the chair and coordinate all of the broadcasts with many technical challenges. So thanks to Matt, to Pat, to Tony, and Brad, and to the listeners for your support while I was away. 888-5-PETER-B. You can comment on any of the subjects that we've talked about already today. The battle over raising the minimum wage, the prospect of conflict with Iran. Fascinating to hear the former Republican staffer of Republican Congressman Bob Ney, Trita Parsi, talk rather candidly about his views on Iran and the Bush administration. And then you heard John Stauber and earlier J-Mo Foser from Media Matters both commenting on Rupert Murdoch's admission. Oh, yeah, Fox tried to control the agenda, tried to manipulate coverage, and Murdoch saying that he didn't think it was all that successful. Is that modesty? I doubt it. I strongly doubt it. A couple of other things I want to throw out for your comment. Here in San Francisco, the buzz continues about Mayor Gavin Newsom, who's extremely popular, in part because of his advocacy for same-sex marriage. And early in his term, he, of course, forced the issue by permitting San Francisco to issue marriage licenses and wedding certificates for same-sex couples. About 4,000 of them took him up on it before the courts intervened. But he's got a zipper problem of his own. If you haven't heard the story, his chief of staff resigned, and then the next day it was revealed in the newspaper that the mayor had had a sexual affair with the wife of this former chief of staff. And I'd like to ask you to comment on two aspects of it. The wife, Ruby, reportedly admitted the sexual encounters with the mayor to her husband as part of a rehabilitation program. And so I just raised the question, should some secrets remain secret? Should what happens in Vegas stay in Vegas? Should what happens in the mayor's apartment or wherever they got it on remain there? Because I do understand the value of honesty, the importance of trust. But in this case, it appears that the effort of the wife, Ruby, to wean herself from some sort of a chemical substance addiction led to the kind of honesty that is extremely damaging. And, you know, I am not a perfect human being. As I'm thinking of the Gavin Newsom case, I'm thinking of what Jesus Christ said. Judge not, lest ye be judged. And I've probably had a few zipper problems of my own in my lifetime. But when is the truth more damaging than maintaining a secret? Just ask for your comment on that. The other aspect of it is that Gavin Newsom went public the next day and admitted it. And while the story may continue for a while, his admission sets the kind of example that could have prevented the whole Lewinsky impeachment scandal. If Bill Clinton had just said in that fateful morning when he had a news conference about education and Dianne Feinstein was there standing behind him in the yellow room, or whatever that room is at the White House, and he said, "I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky." I mean, Gavin Newsom came straight out and said, "The reports you've heard are true and I regret it." And while you can criticize him for what he did, the manner in which he handled the scandal, I think, is exemplary. And maybe he took a page out of the Willie Brown handbook. After all, Mayor Brown, who preceded him, had a baby with a white woman who was his campaign fundraiser. And Willie Brown has been married but separated from his wife for 25 years, something like that. And when that story broke, Willie Brown just said, "Yep, so." And it went right away. It's just amazing about those things. Let's go to your calls now. 888-5 Peter B is my toll-free number. We welcome your comments on any of these subjects or something you'd like to bring up yourself. First, we go to Dave in the Pinnacles. That's near San Benito, California, San Benito County. Hi, Dave. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, thank you, Peter. How you been?
Doing okay. I had a vacation, and I feel recharged.
Well, great. Hey, you know, this matter with the mayor, I mean, and all these sexual matters that our politicians end up getting tied up into, it's been since the Cleopatra, Mark Anthony, and Caesar, you know, going on forever.
Have you been watching the Rome series on HBO?
No, I don't get regular TV, thank God.
Okay. Well, it's pretty well done, although last night's episode was loaded with blood. It was more than I could handle.
Although I really enjoy, I study antiquity a lot.
Well, if you have a Dave, if you have a chance, borrow the DVD at the library of this Rome series on HBO, because it's really well done, and it makes your point that there are all kinds of sexual shenanigans going on as Rome was crumbling.
Well, you know, regardless of all that situation, you know, I want to talk about, and I want something done about this whole notion of our government engaged in these activities of like this Blackwater secret security system that they got with paid mercenaries, and then the use of cluster bombs. I thought that cluster bombs were illegal, and then we hear them using the white phosphorus, and it just. What the hell's going on here, Peter? How are they getting away with this stuff?
Well, first of all, the cluster bomb issue is related to Israel's use of American-supplied munitions that included cluster bombs in its war with Hezbollah and Lebanon this past summer, the 31-34-day
right,
war.
Right, right. But aren't illegal, aren't they?
Well,
I thought they were illegal under international law.
I don't believe that's the case. I think the proscription is in the U.S. Arms Export Act, and it permits us to sell these weapons to Israel as long as they don't use them. And, of course, we do not apply any of those same restrictions to ourselves. And that's why we can go into Iraq looking for non-existent weapons of mass destruction and then use WMD, like the white phosphorus you cited, like the depleted uranium that we report on this program, and other munitions, including cluster bombs, that clearly fit the WMD definition.
It should make any patriotic American sick to their stomach thinking that our country's engaged in this kind of activity. But, you know, really what's really blowing my mind is this Blackwater security. I was talking with Hal Ginsberg this morning about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he talked about the use of them in Iraq. But, you know, we had them right here in New Orleans. And they were, I don't know if they shot any American citizens, but I know that they confiscated weapons from private citizens. And I believe that was illegal what they did. And they just don't seem to answer to anybody.
Well, we do have a problem. There is definitely a problem with a government that has overreached. It has cramped for power, and both Democrats and Republicans have permitted it to occur. We're seeing now the whitewashing of the NSA issues and the wink and a nod that it's going to be covered under the FISA court when Bush decides to operate that way. And we really need to rein in this pre-fascist. And some people think we've already hit it, but I see the elements of fascism in the operation of the Bush administration and far too little opposition. Let's talk next about John Edwards, who is really hardening up his edges, now calling for health care for every American. He's got a plan for it, And he's been much sharper in his criticism of fellow Democrats for being soft on the Bush administration over the war in Iraq. Do you want to comment on that? I'd love to hear from you. I've got a couple of lines available right now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'll talk to you next here in the Free Speech Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant at Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's a Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Checking your Central Coast traffic in Watsonville, Highway 1 and Harpingslough Road. We have a stalled vehicle. It's actually a stalled delivery truck cleared over to the right-hand shoulder, but it had been in the lane for a little bit of time, so you might be seeing a little sluggish traffic as you pass that stall. Highway 17, both directions through Santa Cruz Mountains, checking in, stall and accident-free. You're going to see a little sluggish traffic, though, southbound 17 from 85 to the Lexington Reservoir. And then again, it gets a little brake lights, a little heavy from the summit into Santa Cruz onto Highway 101. Southbound 101, leaving the South Bay, is heavy from 85 to Coyote Creek Golf Drive, and it also continues pretty slow from Gilroy, Prunedale, and into Salinas. This report is brought to you by Office Depot. Office Depot can help you create professional-looking documents for small jobs to bound presentations. Bring in your documents or submit it to OfficeDepot.com. Office Depot, taking care of business. I'm Dio with traffic on KRXA 540.
As I was walking over the highway, I saw above me and in the skyway. I saw below me a golden valley. Yeah, this land was made for you.
Free Speech Zone, taking your calls toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. And I am just back, my first day back from vacation, and I screwed up that last break. Nobody else to blame. The way I do it is when we go into a break, I set a little clock that tells me how long the break's supposed to be, and I forgot. So hopefully all of our affiliates have rejoined us as we continue here on the PBC show. Also, just a couple of quick notes. Tomorrow, 4 to 5 Pacific, which is 5 to 6 p.m. in Phoenix, Jason Leopold will be with us, an extended visit for a full hour, detailed report on the Libby trial in Washington. Also, on Wednesday, we'll have a report from the Aaron Watata court-martial trial from Aaron Glantz, who is a fine independent reporter, background with the Pacifica Radio Group. So those are just a couple of items on our schedule over the next few days. And speaking of the Libby trial, I wanted to opine about this. I occasionally listen to other radio broadcasts, and over the weekend I heard NPR's On the Media, which is generally a very fine program. But I was very disappointed in their coverage of the Libby trial. They had Dana Milbank, a reporter from the Washington Post, who dismissed public interest in the Libby trial, saying that most Americans aren't paying attention to what's going on and that they're the wise ones in this situation. Well, I demur, and I direct you to Frank Rich's column in the Sunday New York Times. He really delivers week after week. He talks about what was going on in the White House at the time that Libby claims that he forgot how he learned about Valerie Plame's identity and then just screwed up when he told investigators and the grand jury a false story. Frank Rich writes, "It was urgent, therefore, that the awkward questions raised by Wilson's revelation of his Africa trip be squelched as quickly as possible. He had to be smeared as an inconsequential has-been, whose mission was merely a trivial boondoggle arranged by his wife. The CIA, which had actually resisted the uranium fictions, had to be strong-armed into taking the blame for the 16 errant words in the State of the Union speech. What we are learning from Mr. Libby's trial is just what a Herculean effort it took to execute this two-pronged cover-up after Mr. Wilson's article appeared. Cheney was the hands-on manager of the 24/7 campaign of press manipulation and high-stakes character assassination. With Libby as his chief hatchet man, though Libby's lawyers are now arguing that their client was a sacrificial lamb thrown to the feds to shield Rove, Libby actually was, and still is, a stooge for the vice president, which raises the question, not asked, on NPR's On the Media, which is why is not Dick Cheney either a co-conspirator or an unindicted co-conspirator in this case? The question should be asked, but the dismissive coverage would not permit that. Next we go to Rhonda in Phoenix. Hey, Rhonda, turn that radio down. This is what you get when you listen to the delay of a radio broadcast. Rhonda's... See, now Rhonda knows she's there. Hi, Rhonda.
Hi. Hi, Peter.
We had to listen to the seven-second delay because you were listening to your radio instead of the phone.
I know. Sorry.
Okay.
I was interested in several things. One was the Libby trial. Do you think they're going to wait until they've completed that before they go into looking into Cheney's part in it?
Well, I can't really divine the strategy of Patrick Fitzgerald because, as I just mentioned, the evidence to date shows that the guy who was really in control of the attack on Wilson was Dick Cheney. And I used to think that Rove was the heavy here, and I still think that he had a major role. And I believe that what Libby actually did when he lied to the grand jury and lied to the FBI investigators was he stayed on track. He stayed on message with the cover story that was generated from the White House Iraq group meeting in the vice president's office. And the whole point of it was to make the media the wall that would prevent investigators from finding out that the leak actually came from the White House, not the reporters like Tim Russert and Matt Cooper and Judy Miller that they tried to blame it on.
Right. So get to the heart of the matter.
But I still don't know exactly where this will lead. I'd like it to lead to an indictment of Cheney, but I don't see that in the offing.
It's when all these things started to come together. I just got a sick feeling in the pit of my stomach when I when I realized how this was all unfolding and how this has all been planned. And the reason I really see why Bush, several reasons why Bush wants the troops to go in Iraq, and he wants, you know, to go forward and want it to succeed, is because he's pushing forward for Iran, and it's kind of the path that he's going, it looks like, to me.
Yeah, I sure share that concern. Rhonda, I've got one more minute before the break. What else did you want to add?
Also, Bush, when he stands up and talks about the budget, and he talks about the state, you know, of the economy, how great it is, where does he get his information? Because, you know, Joe Public, all of us people, the people of the United States, are not doing as fantastic as he says we are.
Well, Rhonda, apparently the tax cuts have not trickled down to you, and the burden of increased health care costs that's been shifted from employer to employee has trickled down to you. So, you know, those burdens don't hit George W. Bush or the have-mores that he hangs out with.
Right. And people need help on a daily basis with health care, not once a year. You have to go to the doctor. You have to get prescriptions every month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not something that someone gets pennies on the dollar one time a year, and that's wonderful.
Well,
People listen to when he says tax cuts, and it sounds so wonderful, but he pulls it out somewhere else, like Medicare, Medicaid.
Proposal he made in the State of the Union address was to tax the health care benefits on your W-2 so that whatever your employer pays would show up as income to you. You pay a tax on that, and then you get a standard deduction, not a tax credit that could actually put money in your pocket, but a reduction in your tax bill based on the standard deduction. It's a ruse. It's not really going to go anywhere. Thanks for your call today, Rhonda.
Thank you very much.
Nice to hear from you. More calls coming up next. Grab a line now. Toll free at 888-5 Peter B. And when I pick up your call, turn your radio down, okay? Thank you so much. Thank you so very much. Really appreciate that.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Just arrived. It's Carmel, a treasure, a first, a combination calendar history book with souvenir maps archiving Carmel today. Entirely rendered in watercolors by Lisa Bryan. Stories, illustrations of local businesses, dogs, and a brief history of Carmel's first Bohemians, including today's places and characters of note. This brilliant calendar and book combo captures the charm of Carmel, a special gift, now available at Lisa's studio in Court of the Fountains and other bookstores and gift shops in Carmel.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Rapp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective, here on KRXA 540.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
I'm the irresistible Peter B. Collins, accepting your phone calls here in the Free Speech Zone. Lines available for you toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. You dial 1, then 3 8s, that's the 888 part. And numerically, it's 573-8372. It also works out to 5-PETER-B, if you got that. 888-5-PETER-B. Call me and let me know what's on your mind. You want to talk about the Libby trial, about anything else in the news? I'll be delighted to hear from you. But right now, it's time to check in with our in-depth, undercover, low-budget investigative reporter. I feel a panic attack coming on. Here he is once again, ladies and gentlemen, Tommy Panic. Hello, Tommy.
Peter, how are you?
Well, I'm doing fine. You're where I was like 48 or 60 hours ago. You're right there in South Florida?
I am. Down here in drizzly Miami.
Are you working on the debris cleanup crews there from Super Bowl XL, whatever it was?
Fortunately not. But no, just been taking in the game, just giving you a general report of what's going on, and just, you know, trying to wrap up the spectacle that was Super Bowl XL1. That's 41 if you're not up on your Roman numerals.
I do have a little trouble with Roman numerals, I have to admit. Well, Tommy, just to show you how out of touch I am with the NFL and sports in general, Kathy and I found discount tickets to go to Miami, and so we went. We bought the tickets, and then I emailed a friend and said we're coming, and he said, oh, don't, the Super Bowl's coming up that week. So fortunately, we arrived and experienced the greasy buildup of pre-Super Bowl hype, and then got out of town on the last flight to Oakland on Saturday night. And so I was relieved by that. But you can't get out of town as fast as I did because you're still on the no-fly list.
I am. And fortunately, my next assignment will be in this very state. I'll get to that later. But
right.
It was amazing, just the 2 weeks of hype that led up to this game. I mean, literally no stone was left unturned by both the prolific media and also the odds makers. Did you know there was a wager on the board on which you could gamble on the over-under for the duration of time of the national anthem?
Oh, no.
Yeah, a minute 42 is the number, with Billy Joel coming in under at a minute 39. Didn't go for any solos or elongation of notes.
And what does that bet pay?
Even money.
Uh-huh.
Not bad. And, of course, the good old hardworking media, we gotta mention them, the same folks that reported that Bears quarterback Rex Grossman, who, by the way, received a $500,000 bonus for just playing in the game, despite his poor performance, kind of Bob Nardelli-like when you think about it.
A new interception record.
Yeah, he scored a 29 on the Wonderlic test versus a 28 by the Colts quarterback, Peyton Manning, the game's MVP.
Mm-hmm.
We also learned from our media that more avocados are purchased, slaughtered, and consumed on Super Bowl weekend than any other, which might explain why the sales for antacid increases 20% this time of year. But the game, let's get to the game, of course. The game, first Super Bowl ever to be played in the rain.
Yeah.
And it goes to the Colts, the team that was favored to win the game, 29-17, the final score. 8 turnovers in this thing. I mentioned Peyton Manning. That's the guy. You might not even follow football, but you know who he is because he's in more commercials than just about anyone else.
Yeah.
Guy that was prior to Sunday, known for not being able to win the big game, he gets the game's MVP, the presentation for which quickly devolved into a Cadillac commercial. More on the commercials, though, in just a sec. Peyton Manning had good numbers, 25 of 38, 247 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. But you know what? The running back duo of the rookie Joseph Addai and Dominique Rhodes, they had 40 carries combined for 190 yards. They should have been the co-MVPs of the game, but, of course, Cadillac clearly wants the bigger name. And it also would have been kind of awkward to cut that red Caddy Roadster in two. You know what I mean? Maybe if it was an Escalade, it would have worked out, but not the Roadster.
Well, Miami Beach was just flooded with Escalades last week before they closed the streets there in anticipation of the rabble gathering.
Sure.
And the bling was all over the place, too. And the real bad part was fat white guys from New Jersey with too much bling.
Right. That's you know, that's the Sopranos, that show. The worst thing about that show is it gives the fat, balding white guys from New Jersey a role model.
Oh, it does.
One of the worst things ever. But, you know, I mentioned the commercials. I was at the game, but for the purpose of the report, I did my homework, and I watched every single one of them.
I see.
As I'm sure you did, too.
You're dedicated.
Actually, a lot of people did. This game was the second most watched Super Bowl of all time, surprisingly. The commercials, though, were really quite forgettable. I mean, I like the ads for Katie Couric in the CBS Evening News. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm being facetious. Nobody watches her now. I can't fathom why they would start after those spots.
Yeah.
The Chevrolet ads were annoying. No wonder GM is just hemorrhaging cash.
Ah, but let's say something nice. They finally retired Bob Seger, and we get little Johnny Mellencamp in its place.
That's something. Yeah, how about the Mellencamp song that was like it was a Chevy commercial before the album even came out.
Right.
Now you hear that thing on the radio, and you're like, I'm listening to a Chevy commercial. Like, I got to turn this thing off. The Coke commercials were actually pretty good. But then again, who wants to pump their body full of high-fructose corn syrup?
Well, the other thing I noticed was that humans were largely absent from the most clever commercials. GM had a robot as the star of one of their commercials. I know that makes UAW members feel really good.
It probably does. How about the halftime? Prince performing?
In Purple Rain.
Very well received. In fact, it was more interesting than the second half of the game. I was out there in the rain shaking my booty, trying out a couple new moves, you know. Now, of course, the rain took a lot of the blame for the fact that it was such a sloppy game. I mentioned the eight turnovers. I have a different theory, though, and you were just there. I mean, you know that Miami Beach is it's a mecca of fun.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the beaches, I guess it's just one beach, but the babes, the bling. You mentioned the bling. Did you pick up any bling while you were down there, Peter?
No, but the other thing is the conspicuous consumption there really is at the highest level, maybe besides Las Vegas. I saw more Maseratis,
right.
Lamborghinis, and Ferraris actually being driven on the street.
Right. You'd have to go to, like, Monte Carlo to find a greater display of conspicuous consumption.
Yeah.
But here's the problem, though. I mean, getting back to why I think we had such a sloppy game, but you're talking about very wealthy athletes. You're talking about supersized libidos. These guys couldn't help but get a little distracted by the environment.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what the NFL should do. You make them stay in some rectum of the universe type location. You're in California, Peter.
Yeah.
How about Barstow?
Barstow.
Put them all up at the Motel 6 in Barstow for a couple weeks. And I think come game time, you're going to see a little more intensity. You're going to see more focus. You're going to see more of a sense of urgency. But then again, that's just my theory. But once again, Peter, the Colts beat the Bears 29-17. They bring the Vince Lombardi trophy back to cold middle America. I, though, am off to my next assignment. I will, as I mentioned, stay in the state here of Florida and head to the wetlands in hopes of securing an interview with this 102-year-old alligator wrestler who apparently has located some missing ballots from the 2000 election. So it should be good, and I will get to you. I will get that story to you just as soon as I get the story.
Beautiful. Thank you very much, Tommy Panic. Always a pleasure. He's our low-budget, in-depth undercover investigative reporter, believe it or don't. Now to Randall in Phoenix. Randall, turn that radio down.
Thank you very much, Tommy Panic. Always a pleasure. He's our low-budget, in-depth undercover investigator.
We just have to wait, I guess. Yo, Randall.
Randall, turn that radio down.
Oh, did you hear my radio?
Yeah, and then we had to wait 7 seconds for you to actually turn your radio down after I told you, Randall.
I was distracted by all this talk about zipper problems, and I'm so resentful because the only one that I have is when my zipper gets rusted shut. But I wanted to squeeze in a plug for the Arizona Advocacy Network, azadvocacy.org,
all right.
You Arizonans. We threw a little reception for Brad and Desi Thursday night and all the election integrity cult.
Well, thank you.
And,
thank you for making them feel at home.
We're having a lobby day tomorrow at the Arizona State Capitol down there on Washington Street at 10 o'clock. We're going to get together, and then at noon we're going to have lunch and hang out with some legislators. So
okay.
10 to 1:30 tomorrow.
All right. Let's be a little more explicit. 10 a.m., where do people meet you?
The Arizona State Capitol,
like the Capitol.
1700 West Washington, on the mall there in front of the old Capitol with the Copper Dome.
Okay.
At 10 to 1:30. And I'm really in love with this idea of Brad Tour 07. It was really Bradical. And I'm thinking about the Peter Tour.
Uh-huh.
And I want you to bring your own ISDN box. We want to make sure we get the network feed online. We were standing around looking at that thing going, how does it work, man? I don't know, man.
Well, and I was actually in Florida on the phone with Matt here in California trying to relay helpful hints on how to get the gizmo to work.
See, that's what I was saying. If Peter were only here, you know, we would have this thing licked, you know.
Yeah. Well, it happens, and I just appreciate that Brad and the team at KPHX made the effort, and next time we'll just make it all work.
Well, other than that little detail, the whole thing was a massive success. We really had a wonderful time with Brad and Desi, and we figured out election integrity completely. We have it all figured out now.
Oh, good.
And remember what I said about the Peter B. Tour. That's got to happen sometime in the future.
All right, we'll work on that. You know, the Madden Cruiser's off the road now, so maybe he'd let me borrow that.
That's right, yeah. And, you know, Jim March from Black Box Voting, he's got a motor home with satellite dishes and solar panels all over it, too.
Oh, nice.
Sure
all right, Randall. Thanks for checking in today. Good to hear
thanks,
from you.
Peter.
888 5 Peter B is our toll-free number. Every line's available except the one that Carrie from Eureka is on right now. Hello, Carrie.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. Regarding the zipper problems that the mayor seems to have, in my opinion, I really don't care who's under his desk or who he's diddling, as long as he's doing his job.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that's important to me.
Well, I agree. And, you know, my angle on this is I'm curious how people feel about, you know, telling the whole truth. And sometimes the price of that is greater than keeping silent. The other is that trust is an issue here, that the mayor had a chief of staff who trusted him. And this chief of staff's wife was working for the mayor. And for some period of time, I don't know exactly how long it was, Mayor Newsom operated as if he hadn't violated the trust of his chief of staff. And that, to me, is a public issue. That's something that I think voters have a right to evaluate, because it doesn't really enter into that kind of role of personal judgment and us sitting here, you know, as a jury in a morality play. But it does, I think, speak to the qualifications of this man, who is likely to be reelected quite easily next November, unless, you know, the stories continue to catch up with him.
Right. Well, I appreciate his honesty and being forward about it. I mean, maybe that does have something to say about him.
Well, I agree, and I just think that kind of honesty is important. And while I'm not trying to rationalize his behavior or judge it in any way, politically, he did the right thing. And I'd like to see more politicians embrace the truthiness as an approach to dealing with uncomfortable revelations.
Well, yeah, I agree. And I'm not trying to say what he did was right in any sense, but I still strongly feel that as long as he's doing his job and he's doing it the best of his ability, it really doesn't matter to me who he's doing. And, I mean, yeah, granted the trust was broken between him and the chief of staff, but what can we do?
Mm-hmm. All right, my final question for you is if you went to rehab and you had a secret like that, would you keep it secret, or would you feel that the healthy thing to do is to, you know, be honest with your partner or whoever it happens to be and let the chips fall?
I guess I think it would depend on the partner.
Mm-hmm.
If I felt that it would damage the partner beyond what I could repair, then I think I'd want to either finish the rehab and try to deal with it on my own. Or, you know, depending on the person, if that person could handle it.
Yeah. Well, it's difficult.
There might be some people that cannot.
Right. And again, I'm not advocating that people tell lies and compartmentalize their lives and cheat on a spouse. But it does happen. We know that. Human nature leads to these kinds of relationships and encounters.
Right.
And so, you know, what role does, say, a therapist in rehab have in trying to help this woman, you know, sort out her life and get to the truth? But truth has consequences. And,
right.
you know, I think those have to be weighed. And, you know, I can't get into her head. I wasn't there at rehab. Frankly, I wasn't there for any of it.
Yeah, well, that's good. But she could have came to her, you know, healing within herself, too, and maybe not have had come forward and, you know, called it off. She could have been stronger and kept it to herself, too. But
right.
I
yeah.
mean, at least she was honest with her spouse.
All right, Carrie, you're not going to tell about us, are you?
No, never, no.
Oh, great.
I don't think my spouse can handle it, even though he's downstairs hearing this.
Thanks, Carrie.
Thank you.
Nice to talk with you.
Bye.
Line's open for you. I'd like to hear from you before we end the show here at the top of the hour, so call me now, 888-5-PETER-B. Your free speech rights in full effect here on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Final look at Central Coast traffic. We have one accident to tell you about, and it's kind of a big problem in Aromas. San Juan Road at Aromas Road, three vehicles involved in this accident, and they're actually completely blocking the eastbound lane. So CHP has arrived on scene, and they're conducting one-way traffic control past the scene of this accident. Minor injuries reported as well. Some emergency crews are on scene, but you're definitely going to see some sluggish traffic as you pass this. Again, it's Aromas, San Juan Road at Aromas Road. Highway 17, both directions through Santa Cruz Mountain, stall and accident free. You're going to see a bit of sluggish traffic, though. Southbound 17 from 85 to the Lexington Reservoir, and then again from the summit into Santa Cruz and onto Highway 1. Recycling refunds have gone up. Now small beverage containers are worth 5 cents, and the bigger ones are worth 10. Visit bottlesandcans.com. Recycle, it's in your hands. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show with views and voices you don't hear in other radio and television outlets. 888-5-PETER-B if you have a comment to share with us before the, well, before the clock kicks us out of here. Just about 9 minutes.
And this just in, got to credit the source, Brad Friedman at bradblog.com posted this in the last half hour. And in a conference call with several bloggers that happened during the past hour, Senator Russ Feingold, the Democrat from Wisconsin, had a number of harsh words concerning today's procedural bickering and filibustering by Republicans in the Senate, which stifled both votes on his resolution to end the Iraq war, as well as allowing amendments to several non-binding resolutions that also failed to come to the floor for a full vote. Remember when the Republicans were going to use the nuclear option to eliminate the filibuster? Because those annoying Democrats wanted to use it. Well, here they are using that tool to try to block an important vote because Republicans don't want to take a position contrary to the White House. They know it can cost them. Feingold's remarks were highly critical, not just of the Republicans, but even more so of his own Democratic caucus colleagues. Quote, Washington insider consultants and even former senatorial colleague turned presidential candidate John Edwards for failing to take a tough stand to end the war in Iraq. In a passionate 30-minute call, Feingold stressed, this is an important moment to see if we're going to try and end this war. Frankly, I'm disappointed that Democrats are playing it safe on this one. We need to play hardball on this. We're going to have to take the lead on this issue. We're going to need to tie this place up as long as it takes, he said, in describing what he sees as a fear and timidity in his colleagues who now hold a slight majority in the Senate. Quote, the problem is a whole lot of middle-of-the-road Democrats who refuse to pull the trigger, who refuse to do what needs to be done, Feingold stressed. Even people who voted against the war seem afraid, he explained. It requires courage. It requires brinksmanship. As Brad previously reported, after a blogger's lunch with Feingold in Los Angeles, the progressive third-term senator continues to place a great deal of blame for the failure to act among his colleagues on the Washington insiders, particularly from the previous administration, he's referring to Clinton, who say if you're going to take a tough stand, they're going to tear you apart. He said the advice of the media consultants and power structure in Washington has led to fellow Democrats led fellow Democrats to believe they'll be criticized if they withhold funding for a war they previously supported. Russ Feingold, what a great American. Read more about it at bradblog.com. All right, Ben and Salinas, thanks for calling. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Good afternoon, sir. My message to my fellow voters, I've got two. If number one, if we can't rescind the authority and stop the madness going on with our country, our treasury, and our soldiers, then we need to tell the Congress, look, you Democrats, we gave you the keys to the car. If you can't stop, you've come to the fork in the road. You can either impeach or stop the money. Now pick a road, and let's get going and forget all this hand-slapping stuff. Message number two, from to the unfortunate people in Florida that have recently sustained damage.
Mm-hmm.
Federal government taxpayer to people of Florida, we will get to you as soon as we finish helping the Katrina victims. In other words, help all of them or help none of them, and let's go where the political players take us.
All right. Very well put, Ben. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Next to Ed in Aptos. Hello, Ed. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Greetings.
Hi.
Hey, Ed. I love that guy from St. Louis. He was really the record store owner.
Oh, yeah. Lou Prince is his name, from Vintage Vinyl.
Lou Prince, what a guy.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, it always shows, you know, you get what you pay for, and you know, damn it, the Republicans don't want to pay for a damn thing. They just want to put it all on the credit card. And
well, I mean, it also speaks to exploitation, because when you look at the benefits that the wealthy in this country, the people who control the capitalist system, you see what they've gotten since the mid-1990s, the Clinton boom, followed by the Bush tax cuts. You know, the expansion of their wealth is unprecedented, and yet they're not willing to let a few more crumbs fall off their fancy tables.
I know. It just, I mean, it just leaves you speechless. It really does. How can people be that selfish and greedy?
Well, that's a question, but they don't choose to answer it, Ed, because they're above that.
Then they have their toadies, Hannitys and Limbaughs, and those of their ilk that are wedged up between their buns and.
Well, the other thing that I see, Ed, and forgive me if you've heard me ramble on this before, but to me the most evil part of the American culture is the way market research
permits the television networks and the political pollsters and others not just to gauge public opinion, but to use the data they gather to manipulate people. And, you know, part of the problem we have is that Americans are comfortably distracted by the dreck that's on their TV sets every night. And the television brings you, no matter where you live or what circumstances you live, it creates the illusion that every one of us is about to become a member of the top 1%. Whether it's by watching Donald Trump or deal, no deal, you know, winning $1 million by putting up with, corrupt people on, what's that island show? See, I've forgotten.
Survivor.
Survivor. It's all based on the idea that anybody could be the next billionaire in this country, and so you don't want to blow it by raising taxes or putting other impediments in the way of the super rich. And it's working for them. You and I, you know that the average person doesn't have a prayer of living a lifestyle like the super rich, but there are many people who I talk to who think that they could be next, and therefore, you know, they don't want any impediments that, you know, could burden them when they hit it big.
Well, I look at it as, you know, people are saying, well, I used to make a pretty good buck, and I said, well, paying all those taxes. I said, hell, I'd rather be making those bucks and paying those taxes than being a minimum wage worker and not paying any taxes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Ed, thanks for your call today. Always good to hear from you.
Okay. Take care now.
Talk to you soon. Thanks for checking in today on the Peter B. Collins Show. I like this so much, I think I'll come back and do it again tomorrow. Same time, same station.
Happy trails to you.
My thanks again to Pat Morrow, Tony Truppiano, Brad Friedman for sitting in for me last week, and for Matt Renner for pulling it all together. Visit our website, peterbcollins.com, and see what happens.
Until then, who cares about the clouds?
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right, dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The Senate was expected to act today on a resolution opposing the new strategy in Iraq, but CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports Republicans have blocked a full-fledged debate.
This kind of maneuvering is not unusual, but the stakes here are very high. Republican leaders are saying they're just using the power of the filibuster to insist that a competing resolution they like gets a fair vote. Democrats are portraying this as Republicans bowing to White House pressure to avoid a vote the president would surely lose. A compromise is certainly possible to let this debate move forward. Without one, the Iraq debate isn't over, just delayed.
University of Virginia political scientist Larry Sabato thinks the delay will be brief.
It's going to be impossible for the Republicans to stop this resolution for long. The resolution doesn't mean much, but the American people seem to want it. And there are too many Republican senators who are up in 2008 who want to vote for it.
President Bush sent Congress his budget plan today. It would cut Medicare and Medicaid while increasing Pentagon spending by more than 11%.
Our priority is to protect the American people. And our priority is to make sure our troops have what it takes to do their jobs.
I'm Mark Knoller at the White House. The new budget projects a steady decline in the federal deficit over the next 5 years, reaching an actual surplus in 2012. Not so the national debt. It'll continue its steady increase from $8.7 trillion today to nearly $11.5 trillion in 5 years, when President Bush expects the budget to be in balance.
Kids home for snow days this time of year. Across the Midwest, though, they're getting cold days. Schools will be closed tomorrow in Olentangy, Ohio. Superintendent Scott Davis says it's just too dangerous.
I'm Mark Knoller at the White House.
Certainly when you have temperatures approaching 20 below zero wind chill, it seems very logical that we'd look out for the safety and well-being of our students.
The blast of Arctic air isn't just a cold snap. Government meteorologist Dennis Felchin says it's a trend.
We're in a northwest flow in both at the surface and in the upper atmosphere, and when that happens, this cold air tends to persist. It's going to continue right through the rest of the week, probably into the weekend and into early next week before temperatures even begin to moderate back to near normal levels.
CBS News correspondent Cynthia Bowers reports the Indianapolis Colts got a warm reception late today.
Despite the bitter cold, thousands gathered in